Matt, real quick.
Uh-oh. Yeah. We're already live, pal.
Oh, never mind then.
It's spinning. All right, I think we're live. I think that did it.
Write it down and ask me later, Kev.
We're just texting.
Something that you can't talk about on the air. Just go with it.
Write it down and then ask me when we're done recording.
Text.
At that time, it'll be too late. It was about the reeds.
Oh, okay.
What, Manscaped?
So we'll just wing it.
Shave your balls. Happy Valentine's Day. What do you need to know?
I printed three of them out.
Kevin came prepared tonight.
We are in Valentine's Day Lawnmower 3.0 read.
Oh.
What about the we're not Super Bowls yet?
No, I don't think so. Tony, are we at Super Bowls yet?
Super Bowls? What does that mean? Is that some sort of reference to something?
Yeah, it's a Super Bowl read.
Oh, what's a Super Bowl?
No, I didn't get a Super Bowl read yet.
Yeah, well, you did.
Kevin got it before you. What the fuck?
How did I get it? I don't get anything.
Matt Dunn, fuck no. Wait, in your 5,000 pages of notes, you don't have the Manscaped Super Bowls read?
I'll read it.
Refined cologne, copy, and talking points.
Well, look, I'm sure we can wing it. It's not our first rodeo.
I'll read the shit out of this read. Baby.
All
right. Well, it's episode 517. Sparks will fly at the Bomb Fest. We got ourselves. Check that. If you have been with us since like day one.
Yes.
If you're an old school women's wrestling creep like Tony Z.
Right here.
This like burnt DVR CD of Kayla Sparks matches that he brought for like a roll of nickels.
Really? I think it was more than that, but all right.
I don't know. I think it's funny. I read an article about DVDs the other day.
Ooh.
Now people are still buying them because they're collectors.
Yes.
But it's like a lost art, the DVD world. But anyway, Kayla Sparks. We talked about her way at the beginning. I think there's even a watch along out there somewhere. No,
yeah, maybe, you know, we kind of cut a lot of the old dead weight.
Yeah. We cut the cancer out.
Yes.
Not the watch along, but people involved in the watch along. But Kayla Sparks is joining us tonight. This was Tony's big super surprise that didn't spoil their appearance on our 9th anniversary show. Because Tony forgot to tell the most popular guest that's ever been on this podcast in 9 years. He managed to rack up 7 appearances in 6 weeks, Miko. But this was Kayla Sparks. So Kayla joins us tonight. We're going to talk to her about the Killer Divas.
That's right. Diva Killers,
whatever. We're going to talk to her about her love for Sting.
Sting
fan. And whatever else. This is Tony's baby. This is all him. This like couple weeks ago when Tony doesn't, you know, if you listen, Tony doesn't speak during certain interviews. It's just me and Kevin. So this might be just a Tony one. Me and Kevin might take we might go shot for shot every time Tony says something weird.
Ooh.
I didn't bring the James, son of a bitch.
I'm
sure you have plenty of time once he starts gushing. And...
but I'm intrigued. The Sting thing intrigues me because at the end of the day, we're all fans. So like. If you're a wrestler and you're still a super big fan, like kind of, you know, we can all relate to that, right?
Absolutely.
I'm just going to see how many all righties and m'ladies I could get in there tonight just to, you know, make Matt happy.
Oh, the my lady is a good one.
M'lady?
M'lady.
Thank you for joining us. M'lady. Oh, brother.
Plus, huge news today. The WWE Network jumping over to Peacock.
Big news.
Slam dunk, because I've been jonesing for The Office. And I one day I'm going to finish watching 2001 of the WWE. So I have to continue.
It's so funny. I have like 6 different rabbit holes of WWE Network stuff that like it's like continue watching the Wrestling Classic or Raw from 2002 or WCW from 1996. It's like so ridiculous. So I'm happy. And I think it's a win-win. We'll talk about it.
We will talk about it. Plus, the Hardy Party showed up on Impact. AEW had a killer show. MLW. Is stealing fucking Tony Z's gimmicks. New Japan, we got some new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Ring of Honor has a brand new top 5 list across the board. And we got Kevin's top five list. We got games. We got Kayla Sparks.
That's a real top
so five. Much more. All next, episode 517 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is the man who is stronger than death, Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
And he's got those smelly balls.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Fucking loser.
Fuck the Shining Wizards.
Episode 517 of the Shining Wizards, coming to you live on the Rant, rantemradio.com, coming to you live on the Face Space where you can see our beautiful faces once and forever and for always. It's Wrestling Talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
That.
Kevin. Oh, and Kevin.
Kevin.
I saw a headline.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. And I had to Google a music video because I don't know anything about current music.
Is it Lizzo?
It's Bad Bunny is going to perform the song Booker T at the Royal Rumble this weekend.
Yeah, Bad Bunny, baby. It's La Playa.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what Kevin just said either.
Well, that's just because it's from a commercial. It's a Corona commercial. That's the only reason why I know. La Playa, but Bad Bunny I know because a former bartender at the Poorhouse in West Orange is obsessed with Bad Bunny, so she is always posting Bad Bunny stuff. So he's like a really, really famous rapper from somewhere.
So famous, he's Matt Latino. And I had no idea who it was.
Yeah, I don't
know. Nah, he's pretty big. Like, if you had to like pick like someone that like the rest of the world knew who he was, but like. We wouldn't. It's him.
But you knew.
Well, I only knew because of her.
It's the first all Spanish language album to reach number one in the 64-year history of the all genre chart, as well as number one on Apple Music. So this song's in Spanish,
and Booker T is in the video, I believe.
How do you say?
I know he's in a Bad Bunny video, so it would make sense that this would be the one.
How do you say can you dig it in Spanish?
He looks like a fucking
I believe it's the same way you say
please don't play that.
Eat your cake in Finnish or whatever. Takes the cake in Finnish. Same thing. The languages are very similar, Tony.
It has 39 million views on YouTube.
I'm telling you, this Bad Bunny cat is like legit famous. Like a world famous star.
Do you think anyone cares though?
Yeah, I think so. Like,
sign up for the WWE Network to watch Bad Bunny perform a song at the Royal Rumble?
Oh, that's a totally different question. You could ask me if I would sign up for the WWE Network to watch the Royal Rumble, and I'd still be questionable.
But they're bringing in Bad Bunny, so he can bring in, I guess, new fans.
I guess his equivalent, if you want to like date ourselves, would be like Pitbull. Remember how like famous Pitbull was without really being, and I'm not saying his music is anything like Pitbull's because I have no clue, but I'm saying like Pitbull was famous to like everyone else, but not really famous. But I think Bad Bunny is like even more famous than Pitbull was.
Why can't the WWE just be a wrestling company?
Matt, come on. They've done this forever. Stop it.
This is terrible.
How can it be terrible
if you don't even know who he is?
Wait.
You want to hear this song?
All right, if you're listening to a song, that's one thing.
Are we going to get booted off of the YouTube?
Well, were you a fan
We'll talk over it. It's not a big deal. Just play it for a couple
seconds. Were you a Kid Rock guy? Were you a, no. you know, Exactly. And Kid Rock was there. Were you? Probably not. I mean, we might be fans of Willie Nelson, but how many Willie Nelson songs have you ever actually heard? Ever?
Road Again.
Okay, there you go.
It's a great song.
It's a great tune. When
Little Matt Bowman had no idea who fucking Willie Nelson
was. Exactly. So, I mean, not TLC. Actually, did TLC before? But Salt and Pepper. Salt and Pepper was the biggest act in the world when LT came out.
What a man, what a man.
That's right.
What a mighty big man.
So just because we don't appreciate the music.
Oh, yeah, this is all Booker. Right. This is Booker T. He's got his rings on. Booker T. This is the Bad Bunny. This is...
The Playa. Oh, this is great.
Is it?
Oh, it's... Lo pongo a bailar la pelúa, el que no baile que lo despelucan.
Hijo de puta, no me cuquen, lean los números pa' que se eduquen. Okay, really?
This is great.
It ain't no Gangnam Style.
That's Booker T?
Yep. He's literally just standing in the middle of like a room. And this dude is just rapping around him.
Comer mi taco, sucker! That means
he's gonna do a Bunny Rooney.
That means eat my tacos, sucker.
A spin a bunny. A bad a Rooney. A bad a bunny. A bad a boony. Ooh, bad and boony. Bad and boony.
No, all right, are we done playing the bad Looney Bunny or whatever?
I'm gonna pass on this. Might pass on the Royal Rumble too. Because yeah.
Wait. You're gonna pass on the Rumble? Come on. How are you gonna pass on the Royal Rumble, dude? Seriously, right,
Tony, that's human. You're gonna watch it. Stop.
Of course he is. Of course he is.
You might not go out of your way to watch it. You may watch it on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday.
I'll tell you why he's gonna watch it. Because we're opening season 3 of the picks on Royal Rumble Sunday. So he's got to figure, he's got to get a leg up on me this year. Yeah, that's the problem.
I don't get anything up on you.
Did you finish?
I could throw fucking darts at the wall and I could have decent WWE picks.
Kev, didn't you win last year?
No, that was Matt.
You won last year? No. What?
Oh, no, it was Tony. It was you. Oh, last year. All right. So we're in a new pick year. So I was going by like this past picks.
And then you said you won last year. Or you said Matt won. Whatever.
I don't remember. I don't know which one you won.
I'm going
to. I know what you're trying to say, Tony. I've never won. I get it. But you know what? I've always been in second place. And I know what you're going to say. It still means I'm a fucking loser. But I've never been at the bottom of the ladder. I've always been in the middle.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? We climb over you and we climb back down over you. Oh, I'm hanging.
You are the ladder. You're not at the bottom of the ladder. You are the ladder.
Who, me?
Tony, if I recall, you were going to dole out our punishments today.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. I'm saving it for later. It's all set.
Okay. I didn't know if we were trying to... That's a teaser, right?
That's what we call it in the business, a teaser. Stay tuned, folks.
Next week, live here on the rantrantamradio.com, live on Facebook, Shining Wizards, T-Dunk, the champion, if you will. We'll be doling out the punishments for myself and second place champion.
You know what second place means? You're the first loser.
I will give the WWE credit. It doesn't seem like the Royal Rumble winner is clear and cut this year.
No, definitely not. This one is like, I don't know what they're going to do with it.
But I don't care about the women's. Like, I can't sit through, because I think if it's... last year is any indication, it's probably going to be terrible because they do a lot of laying around.
Who won last year?
Women do.
Who?
Charlotte.
Oh, that's right. And then she challenged What's-Her-Nuts for the NXT title, Rhea Ripley. Oh, my God. Yeah. Thanks for bringing up that memory. That was...
You asked the question, Tony. You said who won last year.
Because I honestly forgot.
And then you went on and said, and then she challenged Rhea Ripley from NXT. And then you thanked Matt for bringing up the memory that you brought up.
Okay. Well, I honestly didn't remember. And then when Matt mentioned her name, all the bad memories started coming back. So
that was a great feud. I enjoyed that.
Not so much.
Corporate at the time. I was still very corporate.
So. Well, of course you were. I mean, it's the Women's Royal Rumble hasn't always been terrible. I liked when Becky Lynch won. That was some pretty cool storytelling. Wasn't it what was her name? Wasn't Lana the one that got hurt? She got jumped, and Becky kind of hobbled out and said, "Give me the spot." And Fit Finley's like, "There you go."
Yeah, it was something like that.
That was pretty cool. I enjoyed that Rumble. That was where Edge came back, right?
No, Edge came back last year.
I thought Edge came back in 2019 Rumble. No, 2020. Oh, 2020 Rumble. Oh, my God. I forgot that Rumble was live in front of an audience.
Yes.
Wow.
So Edge won in 2020, and then the same Rumble that Becky won, Nia Jax did the same thing and tried to get into the and got into the men's Rumble by beating the shit out of, I think it was R-Truth, and then she got eliminated. So the same Rumble, you had Becky Lynch taking a spot, and you had Nia Jax taking a spot.
Wait, Edge didn't win that Rumble.
He didn't win
that. No.
You said, Kevin just said he did.
No.
Yes, he did. Go back and listen. Trust me, he did.
If I said he won it, I misspoke.
Okay, well, that's why I'm just questioning, because I wasn't sure that he won it or not.
No, he got eliminated by, I think, Roman Reigns. He was in the final four. So
yeah, who won that Rumble? Roman Reigns did?
No, which one?
Last year.
Be clear on what Rumble
2020. 2020.
Drew McIntyre.
Oh, that's right. Claymore won. I don't remember any of this. I don't remember. You know what I do remember? I do remember Claymore had to defend the championship at WrestleMania after he won it against Big Show. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Talking about bad memories.
Kevin, to your point, I will not watch the Royal Rumble. I have zero interest in it.
You don't watch it at all?
That's so bad.
I go on fucking Twitter. I'll see what I need to see. Sit through a fucking hour of garbage. Terrible spots. Kofi using a fucking chair to hop around the Thunderdome. I don't give a shit about that. What am I, seven?
Oh, come on, dude. That's the Kofi spot.
It's fucking dumb. It's the same thing every year. There's nothing new and original.
See, my thought was do the Royal Rumble simultaneously like you did Money in the Bank.
So you want him to do like a cinematic Royal Rumble?
No, not necessarily. Do two rings like you do for War Games. Have the men's in one ring, the women's in the other ring. Start them off with two and two. And then every minute, a man comes out, a woman comes out. A man comes out, a woman comes out. Keep it moving. And then eventually you have like that little teaser thing like, oh, two people hit the ropes at the same time and they collided into each other. Now they're just giving each other a stare down. You know what I'm saying? And then at one point, some cocky heel from the men's side climbs into the women's side like he's going to be a big tough guy. And then the women give him the beat down and then throw him out. You could have like little stories like that going on at the same time. Oh, I see the disgust on both of your faces.
Can I just comment on how?
Yeah, comment. Go ahead.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Okay, that's a comment. Matt, you had something
absolute
to say?
Most ridiculous dumb thing.
No, I have not. That's. I thought you hated intergender wrestling.
I do, but if it's a guy trying to show off and the women beat him up and toss him out, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, but then if it happens the other way around, you're going to piss and moan.
Yes, I am. You're damn right.
So you can't have it one.
Yes, you can.
The whole thing about the Royal Rumble is how it creates storylines amongst the brands and amongst, like, unless you're gonna have a WrestleMania full of intergender matches, it makes absolutely no sense to waste time creating interactions between the two in Royal Rumble matches.
Look, I'm coming up with ideas to try to get somebody like Matt, who doesn't give a shit about the Royal Rumble anymore, to actually maybe, oh, this is interesting. I don't know. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
But here's the thing. Matt's in the minority. Matt's in the minority of people that don't care about the Royal Rumble, I feel like.
You know what? I think that's still true.
I haven't watched a WrestleMania in like 4 years.
Oh, that's a different ballgame, man.
You didn't watch any of last year's WrestleMania?
I think I saw the Boneyard match.
Okay, well, that was probably the most important thing to watch. You enjoyed that, though, no?
But it was okay for what it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, I'm just not into the WWE product. Does not do anything for me.
No, I get it. There's a lot of people in that position.
Because they do the same thing every year, and they dust off a Goldberg. They dust off John Cena. They dust off The Rock. They bring back Brock. I don't care about that. I want to see Keith Lee. I want to see Adam Cole. I want to see Aleister Black. What is Aleister Black doing on WWE TV? Is he even on WWE TV?
Ooh, that's, you know, somebody
That's what the Royal Rumble is for.
For what? For him to fucking get eliminated by the fucking Big Show because he's the surprise entrant?
Yep, exactly, Matt. Exactly right. 100%. And you know what's funny? I guess because the Dusty Road Classic is going on.
Matt,
they posted a picture of Aleister Black and Ricochet together. Remember when they came up together and then they kind of went their separate ways and then Aleister Black just disappeared? Remember that? I remember that.
He was drafted to SmackDown.
I guess they smacked him away. I don't know. I haven't seen hide nor hair of him.
Here's my thing. All right, so you're complaining about Aleister Black not being on TV. Now, maybe they're keeping him off to bring him back for the Rumble. That gets him back on TV. So now whether or not you're complaining about him not being in the main event, that's a different argument. But if you're complaining about him not being on TV, holding him off to the Rumble is usually a good spot to be in to be brought back.
Brought back for just for the Rumble?
No, to be brought back and in a program going towards WrestleMania.
What, please enlighten me. What kind of program?
See, now here's the thing. Your expectations are too high for everyone then.
No, give me something I'm interested in. Don't give me Alexa Bliss throwing fucking fire at Randy Orton.
Okay.
And then him coming out looking like a fucking burn victim all next right. week.
So
props to him for committing to the burn angle. But this whole like the Fiend, Randy Orton, like I don't give a shit about.
Okay, all right. But you're changing gears. Well, Kevin's point is, say he gets into the Rumble, and I don't know who's the Intercontinental Champion. Maybe he eliminates Shinsuke Nakamura, and now there's a feud for the Intercontinental title. Maybe it's Big E. Maybe he goes after Big E. Maybe they get a match at Mania. We don't know. And maybe they build on it going into Fastlane. I don't know. But Kevin's right.
That,
when somebody pops back in,
great. But I have zero faith in anything the WWE does.
Well, didn't when Edge came back, they did the whole spot with the rated Edge, whatever their team was
rated
called.
RKO.
Yeah, and then they went on to Mania and they had a great match. And then unfortunately, Edge got hurt. But that's something that would build. I know what you're saying. They bring a lot of guys back and they wind up wasting them. You would hope that if they brought back somebody like Aleister Black, that they would have something for him to get him up to at least a decent level and maybe get him on WrestleMania.
It's just too much hokey, bad writing, garbage that I'm not wasting my time. My time is valuable. To
I
me.
Understand. Not and fair. You watch a lot of wrestling to begin with. I get it.
And I watch what I like.
100%.
That's the Royal Rumble because it's the Royal Rumble. Because, you know, oh, I have to sit down and waste fucking 3 hours of my life watching something I'm not going to enjoy. Why would I do that to myself?
Nobody's saying you would.
Ah. But a lot of people do that. People on the internet.
I'll watch 4 hours of Wrestle Kingdom. I don't necessarily care for all that. And I do it.
You do it because you want to, or you do it for the podcast?
I do it for the podcast.
No,
you don't
I do
have
it.
To do that though.
I mean, I watch it probably 50-50 for the podcast, but because I enjoy it.
Kingdom was a bad example because I actually do enjoy Wrestle Kingdom most of the time, and it kind of reinvigorates my love for New Japan. That kind of just goes away after that anyway. So, I mean, it's for the podcast, and also because I know that you have a very strong opinion of New Japan and how much you like it. So I
usually I just end up talking about it and you guys just sit there and look at me.
Oh, come on, dude. Like when you're talking about road to Takahashi's house, I don't really care about that. But when you're talking about Wrestle Kingdom or the G1, I'm in on that stuff. You know, I watch it. Don't you laugh at me.
You love the road to Takahashi's house.
I wish I knew where it was. I'd go visit him.
It's right next to Wrestle House.
Probably. But seriously, like there's stuff like when Matt's like,
I don't blame Matt at all. I don't watch WWE.
Yeah, but when
right
Matt's
now,
like,
I don't.
Matt's like week 15 of like the road to the mask wearing square. I'm like, I really don't care about that. But Wrestle Kingdom's coming up. Yeah, man, I want to follow the stories. I'm getting in on that. That's
and
awesome.
I can
to
easily
me.
Read the Royal Rumble results and bullshit my way through a podcast about it.
Well, of course.
There's a shocker, people.
I guess it's still nostalgic for me that the Royal Rumble will always have. And part of it is because it's the only thing about, despite in itself, how some of the things never change, like the Kofi stuff, which completely jumped the shark and all that stuff. I could do without all that, Matt. Absolutely all that. But part of the appeal of the Royal Rumble to me, and probably to a lot of fans that probably only come back for the Royal Rumble, is that for one night, it is something different from everything else you see during the year in terms of the actual match. So I think that's why, and listen, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to say that the booking is going to be fantastic. It probably won't. It probably won't. WrestleMania is probably going to be goofy as hell. So
I just want you to know that there's people in the chat room that kind of dig the idea of simultaneous Royal Rumbles. So huzzah to both of you.
To who? The two people that like the idea?
Look, man, your idea may sound great on paper. Just go watch a fucking World War III. There's three rings there. No, the cameras can't keep track of anything. Yeah. The commentators don't know what the fuck is going on.
You're also talking about WCW production, dude. Come on.
Look, WCW had pretty decent production. Okay?
Decent. Okay.
It's too
decent.
Much. There's too much going on. What are you going to do? Split screen?
No. But look, World War III is 60 people starting. Royal Rumble is a person every minute, a person every 2 minutes. So you constantly have movement going in, coming out, and all that nonsense. But you're never going to have 60 people at the same time in a Royal Rumble. You're just not.
You don't know that unless everybody gets in there at the same time.
All right, one at a time.
There's no point in I'm sorry. There's no point. I think my internet's a little behind. There's no point in having two Royal Rumbles at the same time if a very few of the stories are actually going to intertwine. Just makes no sense. Because then what if you have a story on the men's side? What are you going to cut? Say you have Aleister Black and Big E going at it on the one side to set up the WrestleMania feud. What are you going to cut to Lacey Evans eliminating Shotzi Blackheart? Like, what are you going to do? Like, it just does. It just wouldn't work. Like, in theory, Tony, it's not the worst idea. Like, in an imaginational bubble world, yes. But realistically, it can never, ever happen.
And to be fair,
we're fighting for this.
Kevin's very choppy.
Very choppy? What, does he have his shoes off?
See if he comes back.
Good. Here he is.
You're very choppy, Kev. Sorry, we missed the entail of your rant. Sorry, Kev. Go ahead.
This is not going to work. Anyway, it would make no sense unless they were all fighting for the same thing. It was two Royal Rumbles, men and women, and they're all fighting for the same thing. That's it.
Like, if they were fighting for, like, a package of English muffins, then it would make sense.
Who wouldn't fight for a package of English muffins? Come on, a little toasty, little butter in the nooks and crannies. That's good stuff.
Now, to be fair, I don't watch WWE. I see all the clips on the social media. SmackDown is clearly 1,000 times better than Monday Night Raw. And the Roman Reigns stuff is really good from what I've seen. But I still have no interest to sit down and watch.
Now, let me ask you.
Raw, 2 hours of the Smack Face.
Bayley and Sasha Banks are still on SmackDown as well, right?
Yeah, but Sasha Banks, I think, is going after Carmella.
But is Carmella on SmackDown? Like, but they're all there, right? Like, that was the big story of the past year. Like, they were always consistently, like, feuding and working.
Bayley is now in a feud with Bianca Belair.
But they're on SmackDown.
Sasha Banks is in it.
Okay.
All four of them are on SmackDown.
They did an obstacle course the other night.
Ooh, tell me about the obstacle course, please. I'm begging you.
Bianca Belair carried Otis. That's all I saw.
This actually might be a good time for me to try to restart my computer to get better internet connection so I'm not choppy. If you're going to talk about a Bianca Belair obstacle course.
Look, our guest should be calling in momentarily.
Oh, she's in the queue whenever we're ready, so.
Oh, she's in the queue?
Of course.
Because there's this superstar spectacle, India Special, is tomorrow morning, too.
This sounds awesome.
I agree with Tony.
Fucking douchebag.
I agree with Tony.
Don't you dare call
me. I agree with Tony.
How dare you? This sounds amazing. Dude, I've been going back and watching the Ring Ka King stuff. With WWE running this stuff, it's going to be awesome.
I can't get you to watch the Road to New Beginnings, but you're watching fucking Ring Ka King.
Hey, I watched both nights of Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash. That's got to count for something.
Yeah, it does. And you watch fucking Ring Ka King. You'll be watching this dog shit at 7:30 tomorrow morning. 9:30.
Shout out to Sanjay. Ring Ka King was genius.
Hey, Ring Ka King had Scott Steiner. How could you go wrong with that?
So did NWA Power, and both of them are out of fucking business.
Oh,
now,
come on. NWA's coming back. You wait. You just wait. Don't you laugh at the NWA. How dare you insult things that I like in wrestling? How dare you?
All right, what do you got? Finger cuffs? You going to pop her up?
Wow. You guys are awful.
I want to know if Kayla Sparks is going to watch.
You about Ring Ka King. How am I awful?
I want to know if Kayla Sparks is going to watch the fucking Royal Rumble.
Really?
Yeah.
I think she's still queuing up. It takes a second.
Queuing up.
There we go.
Hey guys.
Hi Kayla.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Are you going to watch the fucking Royal Rumble this weekend?
I will. I've been following wrestling. I haven't been following it lately, but yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Is it like a nostalgia thing? Like you like the Royal Rumble? Okay, that's fair. We were just having a conversation. I will not be watching the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Matt's a curmudgeon. Matt doesn't like anything WWE has to offer anymore. You are a curmudgeon. And then you have the nerve to yell at me about what I watch and don't watch. How dare you? I'm still upset. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you're living under a rock, this is, and Kevin just left. Goodbye, Kevin. Welcome to the show right now. A legend amongst the Shining Wizards and a favorite of mine. Let me just give some allocades here. Most inspired wrestler of 2002, the best female wrestler in World of Hurt Wrestling 2005, former World of Hurt Wrestling women's champion, and she made a triumphant return in 2019. Unfortunately, I missed out on it because I'm an idiot. The one and only Kayla Sparks. Kayla, proper intro. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Tony. Thank you, guys. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. Sorry you missed out on our 9-year anniversary extravaganza.
Oh, no.
You would have been the other guest of Tony's who didn't ruin his surprise. So it would have been.
Hey, I like Miko.
I'm sorry I missed it.
No, it's fine. It's great to have you here now. I just want to, before we get into anything with your career, these guys have been pestering me. We want to know about Kayla Sparks. I'm going to drop some knowledge on you guys right now. Did you know that Kayla had the privilege of working through her illustrious career with not only Tony Mamaluke, not only Sumi Sakai, not only Alicia Edwards and Velvet Sky, but Bobby Fish, and one that surprised the hell out of me, Brody Lee. Brody Lee was brand new in the business when he was working with Kayla and Miss DeVille. How's that for history?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. You did your homework. Thanks, Tony.
I always do my homework.
Cooper Boy too. Rest in peace.
No, absolutely. Real quick, what was it like to work with Brody?
I feel really bad. His family, I wrestled with his wife, Amanda.
Really?
Well, she went by Sydney back then.
Okay, that was her.
Yeah.
All right, little things.
She used to wrestle back in the day.
That's pretty cool. So what was your experience like? I know that you were fairly, young in the business, and I know he was at the time. What was that like?
It was so fun back then. Like, I know I was only 13 when I started. Which crazy. Is crazy. My parents weren't really. Yeah, I know. It was pretty young to be in wrestling, but my parents weren't that crazy about it. But I saw there was a commercial on TV and it says, "Do you want to be a pro wrestler?" And I saw that with my mom and I'm like, "Yes, that's what I want to do." I knew it since I was 3 years old that I wanted to be a pro wrestler. So
wait, hold on, 13.
13, yeah. I know, it's crazy, because, like, nowadays you need, like, slips, permission slips, like, you have to be, like, 18 or to start, but, yeah, things are different back then.
But it's not that long ago.
It was 2002 when I started.
You're fucking 13 in 2002?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
I know.
Done.
Time flies by.
Well, Matt.
You're like a baby. What are we doing?
I know.
If we remember correctly, when we did that,
and now I'm an old fart. I'm 32.
Well, if you're an old fart, you're among a bunch of fucking fossils.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you remember that Jersey All Pro thing, Matt, we had to sign a waiver, and I think Jay Lethal actually was the only way he could be there was if his parents signed for him, because he wasn't 18 at the time either.
Wow.
No, but there's a big difference between being like 17 and being 13. She's just getting like her girl parts. Like, she should be doing girl stuff.
I know. I was basically like going into high school. Yeah, that was in it. You know what? It was a lot of fun. And I felt I started wrestling. It was a place called 24/7 Wrestling. And there were two trainers there, Chip Stetson and Travis Entoom. And they were really great there because they were really about like safety.
Sorry, she froze up. I think Kevin froze up too.
Oh, teaching Kevin's everyone back. Like how to.
So you said you
can you guys see me? I think there's a bad connection.
Yeah, you froze up good. A little bit, but you're good.
So you said you knew when you were three. So if you were 13 in 2002 and then you were 1992, you were three. What was the defining moment for you where you were like, that's, I want to do that. I want to be a wrestler.
I loved watching my dad would sit me on his recliner. We would watch pro wrestling every morning, on Saturday morning, and, Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior were my favorites back then. there's a video of me somewhere where, I was opening a present and it was, you could hear me say like Hogan Warrior.
That's awesome.
But I was I was obsessed with wrestling ever since I was little. Yeah. But yeah, those were the days. I just always knew we always grew up watching wrestling on TV. Like we watch it as a family. And, when I saw that commercial, I was like, when I was 13, I was like, that's what I want to do. And I just always knew I wanted to do it.
So when you first started, who were your influences at that point? Like, I know that, recently, you know, the picture was going around with you and Sting was your inspiration, but when you first started, I can't help but notice there's like a Hardy's influence there with your gear and everything. So we're talking like a little bit on the Attitude Era. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who?
Yeah, I loved watching like 90s wrestling was the best. Yeah. definitely my inspirations were, I loved watching The Undertaker was my all time favorite. Sting, obviously. And the Hardy Boys. And China, I loved watching her because she could wrestle the guys and the girls, and she was like one of my big inspirations to like start getting into wrestling too.
No, that's cool, and especially I know you mentioned Travis and you mentioned Chip, and a lot of your early work is against some of the younger guys, and you can tell like when you watch some of the older matches like from 2002, 2003, that whole like 24/7 group. I don't know if that morphed into World of Hurt or if they were associated at all, but a lot of that
they were separate. Yeah 24/7 was like separate, and World of Hurt, they were both like local two companies in Schenectady, New York, and 24/7 was my main, and then I went to World of Hurt, and because I was the only girl at the time at 24/7, so all I could wrestle was guys, which was cool because, you know, it taught you like to hold your own in the ring, and like it really builds like your character and stuff, and a lot of everyone there was also, it was like our little own family because everyone was like protecting each other, and it was a lot of fun. Like Brody Lee was there. Yeah. And then World of Hurt, I came, and there was only two other females at the time. It was Miss DeVille and Barbie. So we had a lot of matches together, and intergender matches, which were fun.
That's what I was going to get into. Is this the first time that you met Miss DeVille? Because I know you guys, you know, you're going to run parallel for a long time in your career.
Yeah, we first met in World of Hurt. Yep.
And you guys just hit it off right away?
Yep. We definitely hit it off. Like we have like similar personalities. Like we're fun. We're crazy. We like to like outgoing and stuff. So we came up with the idea like Diva Killers was our thing because at the time it was a lot of like the diva stuff going on in WWE. So, and we were all about wrestling and you know, making a name for ourselves, I guess. So we kind of just like went with it. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys wound up not only being partners, but of course, you know, like you said, with only three of you involved in World of Hurt, you wound up being enemies a lot of the time as well. No, but I think it was cool because for the three of you being so young and new in the business, like you guys actually did have a lot of chemistry together, and, you know, you had the chance with the three of you to actually, I guess, get a feel for things, being able to work things out together. And it shows. You could tell in the matches that you guys were just getting better and better. There was one match you guys had. It was a 3-on-1, and I can't forget the gentleman's name.
Danger.
Yes.
Yeah. That was a fun match.
It was a lot of fun. It was cool. Like you could tell the story where you guys are all taking your shots and then trying to team up on them. And then, you know, some other guys had to come in and interfere and whatnot. Of course, that always happens.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really cool at the time because like we were like the three girls in World of Hurt, and it was the storyline buildup was really cool because it was like girl power, and like we were like you know, he was trying to say girls don't belong in the ring and that kind of stuff. So it was really fun, that match. I remember it. The choke slams weren't fun, but we held our own.
You know what? It's funny you brought that up. All right, so you're 13. You're getting into the mm-hmm. business. What's that first bump like?
Oh, man, that was rough. I remember that. What? Yeah, that wasn't fun.
So did it change your mind? Did it make you rethink, like, why you were getting into it? Or was it like, you know, after you shake it off, you're like, okay, I think I can handle this?
Yeah, definitely shake it off. And because, like, I knew this is what I wanted to do. I was like, oh, man, that hurts. But you know what? You get up and you do it again. Till, I mean, it's not something you get used to it. But, yeah, the first couple bumps were definitely stings. So.
Matt, did you have something?
How did your peers, when you were like 13, 14, like, did your friends understand, like, Kayla can't go to the dance because she's going to yeah. wrestle in Ontario or Syracuse? Like, what was yeah. that like for you being so young, getting to travel the road and see the countryside?
You know what? That's a good question, because I did go to my prom, my junior prom, and I brought a wrestler with me. So I felt like I was like the popular, like, cool girl, because I wasn't really popular in school. And I'm like, yeah, I got my wrestler friend with me. So that was fun. But yeah, I did. My friends actually did go to my wrestling shows, like, not the local ones, but if they were too far, they didn't go. Hey, Kitty. Yeah, it was definitely fun doing that. My friends would come to the shows and my family, and they would all support me and stuff, which was a lot of fun. But I mostly went to the going away shows with my mom. My mom came because I was young. I couldn't drive yet. So that was fun.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so
my mom and I have fun road trips. Yeah.
So what is that like when, as an independent wrestler, where you're basically depending on your family for everything, maybe to be a part of the crowd, maybe to just get you places. What is that like, especially wrestling in places where maybe your family is like half the crowd? Like, what is that like for a performer?
That's a good one. That actually happened, where there's like sometimes there was like three people in the crowd, or, you know, your people, which that was a lot to me. But like, yeah, it was, I always put 110% when, if there was like three people in the crowd, or like, you know, hundreds of people in the crowd, I just always gave it my all, because I loved what I did back then. So
on both sides of the spectrum, on both ends, what was the least amount of people that you performed in front of, and what were the most amount of people you performed in front of?
I can't remember numbers, but probably there had to be like a handful of people, probably. That was probably when it was really cold outside and no one wanted to go out or something. But the most I think I ever performed in front of, I'm trying to think, it had to be probably 2CW. And I think that was in Syracuse at the time. That was cool. I think it was at the On Center over there.
Definitely wasn't ECPW.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I know. We know. Tony was a trainee at the Gino Caruso school a very long time ago.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah,
as a matter of fact, I was getting out of the business when you were getting into the business. That's how long
really?
Ago.
Really? Aw.
Yeah, I'm old.
Well, wow. Yeah.
And it was for the better, because you probably would have been a shitty professional wrestler, Tony.
Who, me? I was fine. What are you talking about? I don't like this. I don't like the fact that Matt's picking on me tonight.
I don't like your gimmick, man.
You don't like my gimmick. You don't like it?
No, you were better than that.
Yeah, but it's your first gimmick. I mean, what are you going to do?
You got settled with the Countess. You were in the Army of Darkness. Listen, it was terrible.
Listen, first of all, it's not about me. No. Second of all, I didn't have a great gimmick like Kayla Sparks. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
You're doing the J-O-B for Gino. Aww. Not even Italian. Come on.
Gino's Irish. So what? It's close enough.
It's fraudulent is what it is.
Kayla, what was training like back then, as opposed to what you've kind of seen now? Is it still? Was it basically just like basic now that wrestling has evolved so much? Do you think that if you were to train right now, you would get different basics or different styles of learning than you did then?
That's a good question. Actually, I feel like it's the same, because wrestling has evolved, but one of the main things that they always taught us was like psychology in the ring and, you know, telling a story, you know, always been the other one, you know, safe in the ring, basics, like, you know, how to make it look, like authentic and to be, you know, bring out your character more in the ring. And, you know, that I feel like it would have been the same.
What yeah. was, what was, let me see, I'm going to pick a random number here. What was the third drill you learned?
Wow. I'm trying to, I can't remember the number, but there was always one that stuck in my mind where, you know, the one would head off the ropes, the other would drop down, and then the other one jump over them, you know, hip toss, arm drag, get up, that kind of drills. Those are that actually, I was like in the best shape of my life when I was wrestling, because a lot of it is cardio, and like, yeah, they yeah. really pushed
you. All right, so that that is probably the most random question I've ever asked on this podcast. So there
you go. It was a good question though. Yeah.
There you go.
So you get it, you start young, and then it's kind of, you get out young too.
Yeah.
Was it just, it was time for you to do something else or to run its course, or what was the decision in you?
Yeah, you know what?
Boots, whatever.
That's a good question. I don't know if anyone knew, but I had, at that point, I know a lot of wrestlers get concussions, but I think I was like 17 around the time I retired, but I had two concussions on my plate and I wasn't feeling 100% in the ring, and I would get a lot of vertigo where you get really dizzy and you kind of, it scared me, because the second time I remember I kind of blacked out for a couple seconds in the ring, and I couldn't stand up for like 2 hours after the ring, and I had to go rush to the ER after. So like after that, it was never like quite the same. And years after, I just always got vertigo, and it, like, you just, it's not fun when you feel off balance, and it's kind of debilitating because you can't really do a lot in the ring when you can't like stand up or like move around. So yeah, that was scary. That was one of the main reasons why I stopped.
So then getting back in the ring in 2019, yeah. was it like riding a bike? You just kind of, you got back in there and it was good to go.
Yeah, it was definitely like riding a bike. It was like at least at like 12 plus years since I was in the ring, so I was a little rusty, but it actually was like, I felt like it came full circle, because Chip, my trainer I was telling you about, was actually helping us out, was back with Miss DeVille in the ring, our return match, and he was helping us train together, and it was really fun doing that, and I did kind of get my concussion vertigo stuff back again, but it was only like temporary. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun, like getting back into the ring, and doing that again.
Kev, we can't hear you. Your mic's not on.
I'm unmuting. Did you prepare?
Oh,
any
no,
different...
sorry.
No, we're good. No, did you prepare? Good. I'm going to say this for the 18th time, only the second on an actual live mic. But, Did you prepare any differently? Like, were there any precautions? Were you not willing to do certain things? Does stuff like getting hurt again cross your mind at all when you do all these sorts of things again?
Yeah, definitely. It was on my mind, getting hurt again. I just kind of, I knew, like, cause I'm older now. So like, I knew like what my strengths and weaknesses were. So like, I knew like what to do or not to do in the ring now that we're like older and we haven't been in the ring a lot, but we did do practice, and like, we were doing the same, you know, similar stuff that we were back then, but of course we're not like 13, 17 anymore. So we can't do a lot of the flips and stuff, but you know what? It did kind of put a spark back in me, pun intended, I guess, spark. it made me want to like get back in the ring again, doing it. But it was a lot of fun just like being around the guys that the guys and girls in the locker room at World of Hurt. It just brought back a lot of good memories.
Do you think that's something you can handle?
Yeah, I don't know, you never say never, but I mean, I'm still young enough to, if I wanted to get back into it, so never say never, right?
who'd you work with in that last match?
It was Miss DeVille again. We had it's always like us wrestling each other, it seems, at World of Hurt. Yep. That was a lot of fun, though.
Is she your favorite?
And actually, oh, sorry. I was gonna interject. It was fun because the Godfather was there on the show.
Did he ask you to be one of his hosts?
No. No, he didn't. But it was funny.
The Godfather was like, I need some hose. I would have been all about that. I would have found a wig. I would have stuffed. I mean, I don't necessarily need to stuff my shirt because I'm a little fat guy. But I would have been I would have been a hoe for life. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, right. It was actually funny though because he came out because there was these two guys that came out. They didn't like women's wrestling, and he came out to like support women's wrestling, and he came out and we did the hoe train on the two guys in the turnbuckle. We took turns. It was Vistaville, me, and then Chip did it because he was the special guest referee. And then the Godfather did it. It was really funny.
Awesome. that's a fun story.
Yeah, it was a fun match. Good memories.
Just so you know, when we're done with this interview, these guys are gonna be like, "You asked her if she would be a hoe." Was it being rude?
No, not at all.
Fair question. I would be a hoe.
It's much better.
I don't know.
It was funny.
I mean, it's not the best question I've ever heard.
No, it's definitely not the worst.
There were, I think Lita and Victoria were his hoes back in the day before they got, like, before they were wrestling.
And so was Mrs. Foley.
Really? Oh, wow. Yep.
Wait, Lita was a hoe?
I remember that. It, like, her and Victoria were.
I mean, Edge, Matt Hardy, CM Punk.
Oh, come on now. Really?
See, all right, see,
yeah. Now you went too far.
Hold on. See, Matt, this is where, like, the character's name is Ho. They're like, right. That's what makes it okay.
Right.
You just talking about their personal lives, insinuating that they're a real life berber, is not okay.
I mean,
Victoria was a Ho.
If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck.
Okay, all you right. Quack.
See a duck, right?
We're on the line with Kayla Sparks. All the social media platforms at Kayla Sparks 24/7. Please give her a follow, a like, and all that jazz. Lots of great stuff on her Facebook page to get an idea of what her career was like. I've got a list of people here that you worked with, and around that time in the mid to late early 2000s, you worked with so many people that were on the cusp of greatness. I mean, just going back, like women especially that I remember, you worked, of course, with Missy Hyatt, Melissa Stripes, Mercedes Martinez, who actually went on to win the Elite Eight from WXW, Portia Perez, Jana and Latasha. Jana, I love because she was a local girl. She was from Hackensack. I used to follow her too. And Alicia, tell us, please, you have some stories about Alicia because she's like the stuff of legend around here too.
Yeah, she was awesome. She was so popular in New Jersey and all around. But yeah, she was definitely a character in the ring. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. Matches together. Indie Girls was a promotion in New Jersey. I really loved working there. I got to have a good match with Melissa Stripes, and Alicia was in there. And then there was also, I think it was another one in New Jersey. It was I think it was like DWI or something silly. Yep. Like that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like I don't know. But I did have really good matches there with Melissa Stripes and also Alexa Thatcher. We had a really good match together there. Yeah, I remember that because there was a big spot we did in the match. Like I remember that because we were all like really young at the time, and we liked to do I felt like it was cool to be in the ring with women that had like the same like outlook on wrestling and stuff. So like we did a lot in the ring. I remember during that match, we did like a triple suplex off the top rope. And I remember that was like the biggest bump I ever did in the ring. And it was, thank God we were okay in the ring, but yeah, I had a lot of fun. Alicia, Melissa Stripes, Mercedes Martinez was actually a mentor in the locker room. She was like the Undertaker, I felt like, back then for the woman. But she just like, she like held her own. She was awesome in the ring. She definitely knew what she was doing. I'm just really proud of her because like she finally made it to WWE, and I'm really proud of her as well as everyone else. She always gave really good like feedback. She was just really honest, and there was just someone I always looked up to when I was back then, because it's good to have people like that
Of course. And
no acronym that care.
and
hey, some... Tony, I'm going to cut you off because we got people in the watching on the Facebook. Sarah Simmons, she wants Kayla to tell them about our trip to Weedsport.
Oh boy. But yeah, that's my sister. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Sister Sarah.
That's a funny story. Well, because I was obsessed with The Undertaker, and it was during the time when he was before transitioning into the American Badass character. He was on his injury thing, and he did this signing he was supposed to do in Weedsport, New York, and it was like 3.5 hours away from us. And I remember my mom and I, we called the place. It was some random place out in the boonies, and we called to make sure he was there. Like, hey, is the Undertaker going to be there today? And they're like, yeah, he's going to be here. So we get there, and there's like horse poop everywhere. It's like out in the middle of nowhere. Nice. And we drive up to the place, and we're like, hey, is the Undertaker here? They're like, no, his monster truck's here.
Oh, it's just as good.
I'm like, his monster truck. I was just so, I don't know how that happened. And I was just like, no, this can't be. I was just so like distraught. So we were driving off, and my mom saw this, another person that she thought worked there. And she's like, she rolled down the window and she's like, hey, do you know where the Undertaker is? We heard he was here today. And the guy had like this big, heavy accent. He's like, yeah, if you go down the street to the funeral parlor, that's where he is. He thought we met like a real Undertaker because we were out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a funny story. It wasn't funny at the time, but.
So you didn't get to meet the Undertaker?
No. I didn't get to meet the Undertaker, but I met Sting.
I saw that.
Like a highlight.
I saw that because then it was like a video, and he posted it, right? Of you. You had the red and the red and the black face paint on. Not my favorite Sting.
I'm
not
gonna...
No, not Wolfpack for life. Don't Wolfpack for life. Come on. Surfer Sting.
That's Wolfpack. He was Wolfpack.
I know, but he's not the best Sting.
Wolfpack. Oh, yep. I know.
Yeah, but
I love
Wolfpack Sting.
The Crow Sting. Yeah. And the Wolfpack Sting. Yeah. That was such a shocker because I didn't know he was gonna do that. And I was standing in line, and his bodyguard, like, yeah, right. I thought it was just a prank. And then when I got to the front, I see the guy with the camera, and he's like, hey, your head stinks instantly. I was like totally fangirl. That was really awesome.
How long did it take you to do the makeup?
Actually, I probably like a half hour.
That's not bad. A half hour is not bad.
No.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I wasn't like thinking I was going to meet him before that, and I was really excited to meet him. Actually, I was him for Halloween one year. I was like in fifth grade, and I went to school, and I got in trouble because I was I had a bat I brought. Oh,
well,
you know, when you're a kid, you like want to be funny.
Hey,
but yeah. I feel like a lot of kids got in trouble back then for doing the DX, you know, thing back then, too.
Well, in 2020, 2021, an actual baseball bat's probably the better bat that they would want you to bring in as opposed to the other bat. Listen, your story completely trumps mine, but I'm going to make you jealous right now.
Oh, here we go.
Uh-oh.
While you were becoming a professional wrestler, I was meeting The Undertaker.
Oh, why would you do that?
I forgot. Oh, man. One of your favorites too, Kevin?
No.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah.
No. He's not even in my top 20.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Your top 20
favorites?
Terrible.
20. You could think of 20 better. Your top. Wow.
My top favorites. I could think of 50 more than The Undertaker.
50.
Oh no.
Wow, you just blew my mind, Kevin.
Yeah, but I don't even know you.
But he's top 10 best of all time, no question. But
not even in your top 50.
Probably not. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Wow. 50 is a lot.
50 is a lot.
But I've met
only
him.
Only so many hearts.
That's true. And there's only one Macho Man. There's like 7 Marty Jannettys.
Ugh, why would you put him anywhere in any list?
Marty Jannetty?
Yeah.
Over the Undertaker.
He's top favorite. He's top 10. Jannetty, yeah, absolutely.
Who was the person you shared a locker room with where you were just starstruck? Where you were like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm in the same locker room with.
Probably Marty Jannetty.
He's a ghoul, that Marty Jannetty.
No, I wasn't.
Who's got a better connection, Teddy Long or Kayla?
Probably Kayla, although it's close. So? Yeah, I think so.
We're missing it all.
I was in the locker room with
Kayla. Your connection was bad. Good? We missed who you said. Nelly? It was Nelly. Oh my God, it was Nelly. Kayla's frozen in time.
That's right.
Forever. She's stuck there.
It's an interesting still.
Matt, what's so funny? I was listening to something today where.
Wait, Kayla, can you hear us?
Is she back?
She's frozen.
She's frozen. That's all right. We'll get her back.
Come on, Elsa, what are you doing?
Let it go. Let it go. Let it go.
That might be our new well.
All right. Well, while Kayla figures out her connection, yes. You said you were listening to something, Kevin.
And it was a podcast or it was a radio show. And the only time this person's cats went into the room where they record was when they record. The cat never goes in the room at all, like during the day. Like, but whenever this person sets up, I forget who it was. This is killing me. But it 100% happened every single time. Oh, it was the fucking major guys, and it was someone that was on live with them. Never goes into the room, and all of a sudden, once she sets up to record, cats come in. It's like a weird enigma that they have, or enigmas. People don't have enigmas. You are an enigma.
I am the enigma.
You are the enigma.
See, now look, this is getting interesting here now because it looks like Miss DeVille joined the Facebook Live group.
Ooh.
Right? Kristen DeVille. I'm shouting it out. She's watching live, and now we lost Kayla Sparks.
Jannetty Overtaker? That's it. I'm done. Kevin, you are pissing off Miss DeVille.
Who?
Miss DeVille.
All right. Listen, I don't think Jannetty's better than Taker. I just enjoyed Jannetty. I'm third. I just Jannetty was first.
Really? I don't even know.
I can name you 10 people off the top of my head right now that I like better than The Undertaker.
And okay. All right. Wait a minute. If we're going to do this, we're going to do this right.
All right. So
is this Kevin's top 10?
The obvious ones. Bret Hart. Yep. Owen Hart.
Yep.
British Bulldog. Jimmy Neville Neidhart. Brian Pillman.
Really?
I'm a heart guy. I have this weird
Jimmy Anvil, like, by himself?
I have a Canadian flag behind me. Like, I'm obsessed with Canada.
I get it. Look, I love the Hart Foundation, but I would never put Jim the Anvil solo above, I don't know, anybody.
I'm not saying – none of these people that I'm saying are better than The Undertaker. These are just Tito Santana, Marty Jannetty.
You're talking Tony's language.
Macho Man Randy Savage, obviously. I'm not gonna say him.
You were gonna AJ, say Chris Benoit. You can say Chris Benoit.
Oh, no, I don't know. He's not AJ Styles, Jerry Lynn, Rob Van Dam. You have to understand, I've been watching wrestling since like 1987. So,
right,
like,
but all the guys you just mentioned essentially are all wrestle the same style, which is not a bad thing. It's just
Listen, I like Jim Powers more than I like The Undertaker. How about what them apples?
What are you on?
How about them apples?
Are you trying to chase listeners away? Are you serious?
What? Listen, if anything, I'm bringing them in.
Who? The Jim Powers fans?
Your list is worse than my. Your list is worse than my Royal Rumble idea. I'll tell you that much.
But not worse than your everyone in the 1992 Royal Rumble could be the world champion take.
Are you kidding me? We're gonna go down this road again.
This is a list based on any merit. It's just my preference. Like I'll go back and I'll watch. Listen, I love The Undertaker. Don't get me wrong. He's just not gonna make my. He's not one of. I never gravitated towards The Undertaker. I never did. I like Yokozuna more than I like The Undertaker.
Wow, crazy wild times.
No, look, he wants to like Yokozuna. That's fine. Former world champion.
All right, I'll give you some other ones that you probably will hate. I'll give you Shelton Benjamin. I'll give you Kurt Angle. I'll give you Chris Jericho. I can name 50 people I like more than the Undertaker.
Did you mention the Major Brothers and or Hornswoggle?
Do I'll you like Hornswoggle?
No, I like Undertaker more than I like Hornswoggle. And Dylan's a hell of a guy. But I'll take Hawkins and Ryder easily. Jannetty, easily.
Dylan wrote a good book. I highly recommend it. I enjoyed it very much. Easy read. I read it in a day.
I'm going to try to read before. I'm going to try to read more.
I'm going to try to read.
I'm going to try to read. I read it, but it was like. So long. I have Stu Hart's book. I'm going to try to give that another go.
Yeah.
And
you ever read the Bret Hart book?
Which one?
The one that's like world renowned.
The one that's called 4 out of 10.
No, I didn't read that.
You ever read Dynamite Kid's book?
I don't know. I don't read. I don't read. Like I read like web pages and like. Sports articles. I don't read books.
Well, I don't know if
same
you guys,
reason why I don't watch movies.
Matt, I don't know if you saw in the Discord, and folks, if you're not in our Discord, please go over to our social media and click on the Discord link. It's a lot of fun. People want to start a reading club thing, I guess.
All right.
So
a book club.
Like an Oprah Winfrey kind of thing.
That's right.
Cool. I just finished the book. Here we go, Kevin. Some homework for you.
Oh boy.
Right? No, this is really interesting. I've read a book about the Canadian National Heavyweight Championship, the history of it. When they restarted it, TJ Wilson wrestled Victor from the Ascension twice at a halftime during CFL shows during snowstorms.
I didn't know that, actually.
That's fucking crazy. And TJ almost died during one of the spots. He like slipped and like... God, it was crazy. It was a really good book.
I had a nickel for every time... If I had a nickel for every time TJ Wilson almost died in the ring, I'd have 10 cents.
I'm reading that, and then I'm reading the Scott Norton book, too.
See, that's a book I can get behind. I like Scott Norton more than I like The Undertaker.
Now you're just talking silly.
No, I'm not. The NWO, every single member of the NWO, boom, I like more than
Undertaker. No, not every single member.
Every single one. Every single one.
Even Horace Hogan.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's good. All right, so not Horace Hogan.
Virgil.
Yeah, Virgil, really?
I said Virgil, I think. Didn't I say Virgil already? Wow. Virgil, when I was a kid, when he busted away from DiBiase, Virgil was like one of my like top favorite guys.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
Did we talk about Virgil's ad for Cameo on Twitter last week? Did we forget to mention that?
We didn't talk about his balls being out.
You know that was 100% of work, right? You know he did that on purpose.
Of course.
Sure. Wait,
is Kayla gone, by the way?
She's trying to get back. We're working on it. It's okay. Things are moving behind the scenes, but go ahead. Virgil.
Go ahead. Talk more about Virgil's balls. No, thanks.
Why?
It's genius if you think about it.
Kept him in the news, right? People were talking about Virgil all day on Twitter.
He was trending, for God's sakes.
Kept him in the news and kept him in the nudes.
And I bet you sold a fuck ton of cameos.
I wouldn't doubt it.
They're probably like fucking $7. People are like, oh, this is great to send to my friends. Like when I fucking traded traded a basket of onion peels for 3 8x10s and I gave them to people for Christmas.
I have one of those 8x10s. You gave it to me.
I worked at Applebee's.
I forgot that cameos you're sending to other people. So yeah, that would be a tremendous gift, by the way.
Yeah, he was like, oh, let me get some of them onion peels. And I was like, yeah, let me get 3 8x10s, Virgil. I was like, I'll give you some of that extra horseradish sauce. And he was on his way. He couldn't have been happier.
Kayla,
sorry about that, guys.
No, it's cool. Did you ever trade autographed pictures for onion peels?
No.
I'd have to say Kayla Sparks better than Virgil. Just saying.
Oh, Kayla Sparks better than Matt.
Kayla Sparks better than The Undertaker? Yeah, I'd have to give that a thumbs up. Come on.
Someone in the chat wants to know, even though you didn't get to meet The Undertaker, Kayla, did you at least take a picture of the monster truck?
No, I didn't. Oh. I was too angry. I left.
Oh, man.
I was upset.
And all right, it's got to be like the time when we're still using like single shot, like disposable cameras or something, right?
The best. I would load up on those before my ECW shows.
I know. Actually, I have a sad story about that. When I met China, you couldn't take pictures with her, and my mom was taking pictures with a disposable camera, and I was so excited to go get them developed, and the lady at Kmart said, I was stupid. I was like, do you take, you know, because my mom normally did it. I'm like, do you take the film out if it's a disposable? And she's like, yeah. So all the pictures were ruined. Oh, I just don't have good luck when I meet wrestlers.
That's terrible.
I have like a really... like muddy, like ruined photo of me and Chris Candido that really annoyed me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it was like a disposable camera, and like I either like took it to this one show and took like four pictures. That's the show that I lost all my faith in wrestling to when Sabu came to the ring to the Spice Girls, and I was like, "Are you fucking kidding me?
Wow,
Sabu to the Spice Girls."
You came out to the Spice Girls, really?
Yeah, dagger in my heart. I guess
what was the name of the song?
It was Wannabe.
Wow. I actually didn't know that fact. That's actually, I'm a really big Spice Girls fan, if you didn't know.
I didn't know.
It's ironic.
See, I knew. I was trying to tell you, you know, with the Spice Girls.
Look, Spice Girls are huge. But this is the most homicidal, suicidal, genocidal wrestler in the world. He's coming out to the goddamn Spice Girls.
I remember.
Here I am, 16 years old. I go in the basement. I do a couple lifts. Then I go up to the bathroom. I take the razor blade from the hardware store I worked at. Really? And I'm trying to give myself the Sabu scar. And then I go to the fucking high school. And here he comes out to the goddamn Spice Girls. Destroyed me. What are you all like sitting back in the chair like, oh, I don't even
know you guys anymore. Kevin doesn't like The Undertaker. You're carving up your body because of Sabu. It's like,
man.
All right, so Kayla, we got cut off before. Share your moment where you couldn't speak or you were just over the moon about sharing a locker room with somebody.
Yeah. You know, I've been in the locker room with awesome people like all the names you mentioned before, but like, I guess, I was really shocked to be in the same locker room with the Godfather just because I grew up watching, you know, the Attitude Era. So that was really cool. And to be in the ring with them, to have a little spot with them was cool. So
now you also got to share a ring with Amy Lee and Luna Vachon.
Oh boy.
Yep.
And I think that is super cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let Kayla tell the story.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, there was a lot of bad stuff that happened back then, but I don't know.
I was not supposed to bring that up. Tony did not send me any notes for this.
He just it's okay. Yeah, I don't care.
He left me out on the island. He said, you're a smart man. Figure it out yourself.
Yeah, it was in the past. It was a setup back then, but.
Oh, come on. Shenanigans. Yeah. I don't like that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring that up.
No, it's okay. There's just a lot of negative stuff back then. Like, I don't know.
No, I kind of... I wanted to ask you, because I know you got into the business so young, but as you got older and you were around, I guess, more and more people that didn't have your best interest in mind... did the locker room ever become something where you're just like, oh, I wasn't expecting this, or, you know,
and let the, before you answer, Kayla, let the record show. I'm not laughing at your misfortune. I'm laughing at the picture Kevin put up of a very young Kevin with the Undertaker. I don't know.
That's his profile picture. And he hates the Undertaker.
I know. Come on. How can you hate the Undertaker?
I wanted to make that clear. I didn't mean to have it sound.
Oh, no,
like
you're totally fine, Matt. Yeah. Kevin's talking about whatever.
Yeah, this was bad timing all around.
I see the picture. Wow. That's you, Kevin?
A little bit. Yep. Yep.
You're too. Wow. That's awesome.
I think it was like 12, I think. 11. 12.
Yeah, Kayla was getting into the wrestling business, and you're palling around with Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer is touching your tummy.
That's not even my tummy. That's like my upper body. Those are my pecs.
Was he giving you a chop?
I don't know what he's doing. Yeah.
That's an awesome picture.
There you go. All right. We'll come back live here.
All right. So back to Tony's question. I'm sorry. We're all over the place. We're maniacs.
It's all good. Yeah. I don't care. Tony, what was your question again? Sorry.
I know when you got into the business, you were in a cool locker room. It was a great environment. There were a lot of guys that were looking out for your best interest, protecting you, trying to teach you the business. But, you know, as you got older and as you started to travel and, you know, you made more of these towns and made more shows, did the attitude in the locker room ever change to you? Like, did things just kind of like ever go where you're looking around just like, wow, this wasn't what I was expecting, you know, either in a good way or a bad way? Like, I know you talked about Mercedes being a locker room leader and she's always been cool. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like you said earlier, I was always pushing for her to get to that next level, and you saw it there, and it thankfully it finally came. But was there ever that moment where you're looking around, where you're just kind of like, this really isn't what I thought it would be?
Yeah. Well, you know, like every locker room's different. So like, if I wasn't familiar with a show or, you know, a place where I wrestled at with every locker room, you get like some of the, you know, bad apples, but I mean, you just kind of ignore them, or you just like, I was just always like really positive back then. And I kind of just ignored whatever, if there was any like negativity in the locker room. Like, I remember one time, it's actually a funny story. I feel like women's wrestling wasn't as respected as it was back then as it is now. So there were some bad apples in the locker room, which, you know what, it's a funny story, so I'll tell it. There was a guy in the locker room that was serious, and he came up to me. He's like, "Hey, do you want to oil my back?" or something like that. I remember the guys heard him say that, and they're like, "You're way out of line. Like, don't do that, Kayla. Like, I would never do that." But like, it was just like, I was just like taken back. I'm like, wow. And I remember people were just so like, it was my first time at the place wrestling was in NECW in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And the owner told everyone to get out of the locker room, and he was just yelling at this guy like, "You don't talk to women like that. You know, if that was your sister, your mom, your daughter, you wouldn't say something like that to them." And I felt really bad because he was crying, and I was just like, you know, I don't know. But I mean, that doesn't happen all the time, but that was just a story I remember that like always stuck with me. Like, I don't know, but I just always try to stay positive in the locker room. And I know there was a lot of people that didn't support women's wrestling, but it was just, it was a weird time back then. Like, I feel like if I was wrestling again now, it would be different, because like women's wrestling has come so far now. So it's cool to see that.
What would your objectives be if you were ever to come back into the ring? What would your objectives be in terms of a career? Would it be for fun? Would it be to actually make it? Would it just be something just to keep yourself occupied, like if you still love the business? What would your objectives be if you were to return right now?
That's a good question. I mean, I do miss it. I was always really passionate about it. It was something I really wanted to do. But I mean, if I was going to get into it, it would probably be for fun. It would be to do like a reunion show. But like, if I was really going to get into it, I would be serious about it and really, it's been on my mind, you know, ever since I did that show last year. But if I was going to get into it, I would want to give it my all. And
what about other roles in the independent wrestling business? What about doing other things other than wrestling? If you weren't able to give it 100%, or if you weren't able to be 100% physically, what other roles would you have in mind for yourself?
I mean, if the offer ever came up, I would always take it. But yeah, I know what you mean, like a manager role, or like somewhere behind the scenes, like, you know. Yeah. With that kind of stuff, that would be cool, but I don't know. Never say never, I guess.
Of course. And like, I'm talking like you're,
you
know, like a lot older than you are. You're like 5 years younger than me. So like, you're completely, you're still but, able to do it. I was just in terms of like your actual physical health.
If you want
to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, definitely. If I was going to get back into it, I'm trying to get into better shape, so like, and that, I've been thinking about wrestling too, like, since I've been doing that. But yeah, right. Never say never, I guess.
Nice. Very nice.
Have you ever tried the DDP yoga?
DDP yoga? No, I haven't.
Awesome. This Tony Tony would look like Uncle Fester, and then he dropped like 100 pounds. I'm not even kidding you. He dropped like 100 pounds. He looks like $1 million now. Kayla Smart, the experiment, tag team reunion tour 2021.
Yeah, but Kayla, she's also like 30 years younger than I am, you know?
Who?
Who?
Kayla. Oh, so you're saying, so right now, on January 25th, you're saying, Tony, you're 62 years old.
62 years young, bang!
No, not 62. The DDPY yoga is very good if you're looking to try. I have been doing it for a little while now.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
He does a great job.
Yeah.
I feel good. I did 2 sessions today. I feel like $1 million.
Oh, awesome. There you go.
My body fucking hurts so much. My knees hurt. I'm old. It's bad. All right, Tony. Tony's got questions. We hijacked the fuck out of this interview.
That's all right, man. It's all good. I told Kayla it was going to be a good time, and I hope we're not disappointing you.
Oh, no. I'm having fun with you guys.
Now, look, I don't want to put ideas in your head. You want to get back in the ring, all for it. But if you ever think about commentary, I can help you out because I am a world-class commentator. And listen to me. I have a shitty voice, and I did commentary for 2 years.
It's fun. I'm sure it's really fun, you guys, doing the commentary.
Oh, no, not these idiots. These guys suck. It's all me.
Oh, no.
I love it that this is what you decided to keep our guest on later with, that question.
What? I'm just moving it along. I'm just giving
her you put yourself over at a question.
Look, I'm concerned about Kayla. She's worried about vertigo. She's worried about concussions. I'm just saying there's life after the ring, you know?
Yeah, if you listen to Tony do commentary, you will get vertigo and a concussion.
If you could ask The Undertaker one question right now, what would it be? And hold on 1 second. There you go. What would it be?
I don't know, man.
Why are you so handsome?
Yeah, right. Actually, yeah, I did used to have a crush on Undertaker when he was like a lot younger. But I know it's not a common thing for girls. Yeah, I know.
Wait, like American Badass Undertaker, not like dead guy Undertaker, right?
All of the above, yeah.
Wait, hold on.
That was weird. But I don't know what question.
Don't pick her apart for that.
So when he was like dead guy Undertaker with like the really bad bags under his eyes.
Yeah. She was 3 years old, if that. She probably wasn't alive.
I know.
For that.
I really, you know what? Because it was around the era I liked the Ministry Taker, the
pets. Alright, see that's a badass taker.
Yeah. All right,
that's a little better. I'm okay. Yeah. Dead guy Undertaker. He's dead. It's creepy.
It is weird.
Yeah.
So, all right. So what would be the question that you would ask him?
I guess my question would be, sorry, the phone's ringing.
It's the Undertaker.
It's the Undertaker.
Why are you talking about me?
No, this is Teddy Long calling for the Undertaker.
I would ask, I know there's so much stuff I know about The Undertaker. I'm trying to think of like what to say.
That's fine. It was a tough question to put you on the spot. We're all fans. I marveled in your Sting story. So I
I know that was cool, right?
Yeah, as a fan, because like at the end of the day, we're all fans. So it doesn't matter what we've done in the business, as long as we come back at the end of the day. So
put that
in your back pocket.
Okay.
The next time we have you on, we'll ask you again.
I'll think of a good one.
Yeah. And if you are serious about making a comeback, you have to come back on. You can come back on anytime you want. This is an absolute blast.
Thank you.
I do have to ask you, I know you work with Miss DeVille, and I know the easy answer is like, Miss DeVille is my greatest opponent, whatnot, but aside from Miss DeVille, who to you, or what was your favorite match, or who was your favorite opponent, you know, like somebody that you used to really click with, enjoy to work with, you know, anything along those lines?
Oh man, there was a lot.
I know, I got a list of them right here.
I really liked working, with Alexa, with Melissa Stripes, because we were all like around the same age. And we all had like the same, like similar passion personalities. I did like working a lot with Mercedes Martinez and Cindy Rogers. She was really good, technical. like all around good wrestler, like Mercedes. Those were fun matches. I don't know. There were so many.
But, yes, Cindy is definitely one of my favorites. I think I put her up there with Mercedes Martinez as somebody who, you know, should have gotten another look, but unfortunately didn't. There were, I'm telling you, like I said earlier, there were so many women that came up around this time that, you know, like you just look back, like even like Nikki Rocks, somebody like that, you know?
Yeah, she was really good. Yeah.
If you could book your dream match against any of the current women in the world of professional wrestling, who would you like to get in there and tangle with?
Oh my God. There's so many awesome wrestlers out there. I love Charlotte. Like she's all around awesome wrestler. She's great on the mic. She's got like it. Yeah, but she would be someone I would love to get in the ring with.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's really a wrong answer to that
question. I know. There's so many. I know. Women's wrestling has come a long way, so like anyone would be an awesome opportunity. Yeah.
Your sister is harassing us in the chat. She wants you to she wants you to do an Undertaker impression for us.
Oh no.
She put me on the yes, Kayla, do
you will rest in peace.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah.
I can't.
No, if you didn't start laughing, I knew you were gonna start laughing towards the end.
I know, I can't.
It started off so good. So if you like kept that going, it would have been perfect, I think.
Yeah, that's what I can't. I'm always smiling. Like that was one of the things in wrestling. They're like, you gotta stop smiling so much. But I can't help it.
No, but it's cool. It's like you said, you know, early on, you always wanted to have fun, and God, you can tell, like I watched your return match again today.
Yeah.
And just the smile on your face, man. Like you said in your comments, like you couldn't break that smile. Like if you had a chisel and a hammer, there's no way. You were just having so much fun. And that's what's cool. Yeah. Like I think that's what drew me to you when I found out about you and I started getting into your career. Just like every time you went out there, you could just tell that you were always having a great time. And that's important.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I always try to have like the most fun, because if you're not having fun, why do it, right?
Exactly. And I did get to see Kayla Sparks in person once. You had a show.
Really?
Yeah, it was the Diva Killers against the Jawbreakers in Bhutan.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of my neck of the woods. I was my cousin and I took a ride out there. Hell of a match. Oh, cool. I enjoyed the show. It was a weird venue. First time I'd ever been out there. And I know you're familiar.
Yeah, they had a lot of those at that. I think it was like a VFW or something. A lot of them were back then. Yeah, I had a lot of shows at Boonton. They were fun. Those were good times. Those were fun.
Yeah, I didn't realize it until much later. You actually worked some of the venues around here. Like there was an Elks Club in Lyndhurst that I recognized. I know you worked up in Lake Hiawatha at ECPW. So
yeah,
a couple of my old haunts. So we have something in common.
Yeah, I try to keep it different, wrestle at different places, because that's how you get the most experience. So that was a lot of fun back then. Yeah.
No, of course. And it's still like Matt said earlier, just boggles my mind that you were so young and you were making all these towns. I mean, you know, Massachusetts, New Jersey, you know, all over the place. It's just wild.
Yeah.
One last thing before we let you go. And I brought this up last week and I was mocked incessantly for it, but I do have a copy of the Best of Kayla Sparks. Wow. This sits on my shelf next to my autographed copy of Be a Man from the Macho Man. So this is in very good company. Very good company.
That's a classic one. That was Barbie and I on the cover on that one. Yeah, that's cool. It's awesome, cool. Tony.
You are a creep.
I'm a fan.
Wow.
It's vintage now.
Of course it is. And I'm really going to creep Matt out. It's even got the little picture on the inside with the autograph.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wait.
I tried to be cool with the card. Yeah.
We never talked about her European championship run.
No, this is the world. This is the world of her championship, isn't it?
The world of her. Yeah.
See, there you go. See, can you see it?
The world of hurt. You were the champion.
Hell yeah. Longest reigning champion.
The world of hurt champion. Yep. Women's World of Hurt. That was
longest reigning.
Longest reigning.
Yeah.
She wasn't even, with all due respect, you weren't even a woman. You were a little girl.
I know. You know, girl power, right?
Yeah, there you go.
I love her.
With, oh, now he's singing Wannabe.
Make it look too I'm one.
I know.
Who's your favorite Spice Girl?
Sporty Spice.
Of course.
Hands down. I have, here's my tattoos. I don't know if you can see them. I'm a little Spice Girl upset. Girl power, peace sign, star. And then that was a Sporty Spice Melanie C solo song.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm really, I'm hardcore Spice Girls fan.
For the solo stuff, or nothing is better than the group together?
Yeah, I love her solo stuff.
There you go.
Yep. What's your favorite Spice Girl song?
Oh my God, I don't know. There's so many. I love, you know what? Say You'll Be There is a classic one.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the Spice Girls movie, by the way. Not ashamed to say.
Yeah.
I did. Meatloaf was the bus driver.
Yep. That was funny. That was a good movie.
Love that movie.
Can you quote lines from that movie?
Oh, cool. Of course.
Wait, did you use the Spice Girls song as your entrance?
I did, actually. I used it a couple times when I used Wannabe, the one that you hate.
I don't know who came out to.
No, we did. Mr. Bill and I came out to it a couple times to switch it up, the songs. Yeah.
I love that song.
I know.
Kevin's out. Kevin's done.
Your precious time.
Holy cow, Kevin lost it.
Together we could be just fine.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really want.
Don't tell me what I really want. Come on, really, really want.
Broads, no bras in this video.
Yeah.
Which one was sport? Who's the one that married the soccer player?
That's Posh.
Posh Spice. Posh.
I didn't say that.
Posh.
Now Kevin
Posh. Is Victoria.
Sporty Spice. Mel C. Yeah. Baby Spice. Who am I forgetting?
Ginger Spice.
Ginger.
Ginger.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Kev, you're not Kevin's dance. Oh, Kevin's pantomiming the words. I like it. Oh, he's leaving. He's done.
He's done.
Kayla, this was a blast. We will have you back anytime you want. Please don't hesitate. Thanks. This was so much fun. Before we let you go, though, anything you want to say to anybody that's tuned in, anybody listening out there, anything you want to say to your fans?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks so much, you guys. I just like to say hi to all my friends and family and fans. Hello. Thanks so much, you guys. This was a lot of fun. Tony, Matt, Kevin, thank you guys.
And if you're definitely on the comeback trail, please let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
We might have to take a road trip to go see Kayla's return match. The return of the return.
Yeah, all the way to the mean streets of Lake Hiawatha.
Hey, those streets are pretty rough. Don't knock it.
You never know. Actually, I think that the World of Hurt shows have been in Whitehall, New York. So if there's another one, that's where I think it's like in Bigfoot Town.
It's all right. It's a ride, but we'll be happy to take it. Road trip.
We'll find out.
I could go see a wrestling show and look for Bigfoot.
Yep.
Fucking sign.
Sold.
I will literally strap a speaker to myself, play the Spice Girl, and run through the woods. So I can
help
a Bigfoot's dick.
There you go.
Oh no. I lost Matt now for the rest of the show.
You guys are so fun.
don't lump me in with these two. I'm not that fun.
Yeah, Kevin's the old curmudgeon of the show.
All right, Well, thank you, Kayla, very much.
Thanks
Tony,
so much, you guys.
Thanks,
Kayla,
again for joining us.
You too.
Thank you.
Kayla Sparks, everybody.
Kayla Sparks, everyone.
Thank you.
And Kevin did not dance. Kevin did not sing.
Was I supposed to dance?
You probably should have.
Do you like the Spice Girls?
Kevin doesn't
like the Spice Girls. I never was a fan of the Spice Girls, which is weird because I did like a lot of other pop music, but not them. Yeah, it was weird. But hey, listen, she was what? 11? When she started her wrestling career, so it's right around there. So
well, there you
I didn't
go.
Realize that she wasn't even like... Oof. Didn't know that, T-Donk.
Really? You should have did your research, Kev.
I mean, 13's young, dude.
They trained her.
No, that's just, it's crazy.
I know.
It's not the first time someone's been trained that young.
No, fair enough. But, I mean, to Matt's point, though, like, yeah, 12, 13 is pretty young. But from what I saw, everything was cool. They did a good job. She was learning the fundamentals, and she turned into quite a wrestler.
Like weren't like the Guerreros like all trained like at like 13? Like wasn't like isn't the whole movie Fighting With My Family Page? Isn't she like
yeah? Well, 15, that's
16 training,
maybe younger than that. Probably, I mean, I saw the movie, I just don't remember. But
that was probably the best movie experience because there was no one else in the theater but me. It was perfect. I went like a Monday afternoon right after work.
But I mean, her training that young, it sounded and it seemed like best case scenario. Like it seemed like everybody there was on board. Everybody there was looking out for her. So you can't ask for more than that. So, that's pretty cool.
I mean, let's be honest. If we actually had that mission in mind, like who wouldn't train as soon as possible if they like had the resources to do it?
Of course.
Yeah, true.
Trained younger than Rey Mysterio did. And he started training at what, 14? No, maybe he was even that young.
So Rey Mysterio was 14 when he took his mask off in WCW.
That is a true statement. That was an awesome interview, though. She's welcome back anytime. I had a lot of fun. I know you guys did. Well,
no, Tony, I'll say this. You're pulling some good guests in terms of entertaining talks.
Of course I do. I always do.
What?
Right?
What?
Matt, wouldn't that be fair to say that this was pretty good?
Sure. Last week was absolute dog shit, but this week was great.
Who was last? What? Oh, come on now.
Oh, wait, who? Francis?
Come on now. Francis rules.
Yeah. Francis can suck go with a Matt. Fucking.
All right, come on now. Really?
He can suck a fry.
Really?
Really? How do you like them apples?
Oh, Francis, good God.
You fucking heard. You don't even listen to the show.
Kevin. Kev.
Does he listen to the show? No. You just go, Francis.
Kev, please help me out, Kev.
You should call in and ruin the show.
I mean, Tony, I'm not going to say. I wish you would have.
I'm in the attic. Shut Kev. The fuck
door. Kev. Tony, it wasn't Tony. I'm not going to say that I'm excited anytime he calls in because I'm not. But I got to side with Matt on this. If I had to pick, I'd have to side with Matt.
I'm not asking your opinion. I'm asking you to move on. What do we always say?
Oh, I see. I was waiting for that too. Back after this.
We know you love shopping at Amazon, and we also know you love listening to The Shining Wizards. That's why you're hearing this commercial right now. But were you aware that you could combine the two, do all your shopping, and support the show at the same time? Well, of course you can. Instead of going to Amazon.com, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and make your purchases the way you normally would. You're going to get the same great low prices, and a portion of whatever you purchase is going to go to support The Shining Wizards. How great is that? You, by purchasing anything that you normally would anyway, is going to support us. That's a win-win in my book. So from now on, when you shop at Amazon, go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com or click the banner on our website and do all of your shopping with The Shining Wizards.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Journey is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareen, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. My name is Thomas, and what's your name?
I'm Alan. Alan. Oh, yeah. We're brothers.
That's right.
Yeah. Brother, mother, same mother and father.
Your room was...
Oh, we shared a room.
Shared a room.
We shared a room.
Thought I knew your face.
Yeah, we go way back, mate. Yeah.
We should do a podcast then.
We have.
We do a podcast.
We do a podcast.
What's it called?
The...
Brocast.
Yeah, that was planned.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, we cover all different things in the world of pop culture. We're talking about comic books, we're talking professional wrestling, and we're talking about movies. Go back and watch classic retro wrestling events, the likes of WWE, WCW, and if you do like that, you can check us out on Apple iTunes, also on Podbean, Anchor, and on Podknife. Also check us out on Twitter, at The Brocast. That's B-R-O-K-A-S-T.
Hey, it's all right. Good on you.
Yeah. Instagram also at The Brocast Podcast.
Remember, we don't spell it with a C. We spell it with a K.
Sorry, mate.
Take it easy.
All right, T-Donk. All right, K-Garf. It's time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Thank you!
And if you want to support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast.
Lower it a little. We don't want to get a copyright strike.
This is a different song. I thought it was. It turns out it's Spice Girls.
Going with the Spice Girls. Going hard with the Spice Girls. Go over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. If you're enjoying this show, if you enjoy our catalog of shows, I highly recommend going over, signing up for the $3 a month tier. That'll get you a shout out on this show. Plus, you'll get one watch along, at least one watch along, and two bonus shows that we just busted out. We recorded them Friday night. We had such a good time. We covered the wrestling classic, and we covered Louis Spicoli. So we're doing one show and one profile a month. Those are guaranteed. You're guaranteed at least three shows. And if we feel froggy, who knows? We might do an extra watch along. We might do – who knows?
Dude,
the creative juices are flowing here at the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast, and that's always dangerous.
Once I get vaccinated, I'm going to be out in the world. Who knows where I'll be and recording.
A dangerous D-Von Storm. It's bad. You watch out for him.
Tony, okay? Finger cuffs.
So at this time, we want to thank those that support us on our Patreon. We start with Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Manny Crazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards over there in Austria. That's right. We have fans in worldwide, baby. Bitches. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP of the SWP. We might have to change that because the authors are paying aren't even a thing anymore, are they?
Yeah, but they're timeless.
Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com, Elementary Brewery here in Hackensack, New Jersey. Your best spot for your local brewery. They're doing curbside. They're doing to go. If you're in Bergen County and you need some brew dogs, hit up Ryan Van Dam over at elementary.com. He will either fall asleep or give you a six pack. He won't give it to you. You have to buy it, but support local business because that's what Ryan Van Dam does, baby. Sean Toe, he's an American cat, but Sean Calejo, he's from fucking Australia.
Good day.
Right?
Yes.
He's like Shining Wizards, Crocodile Dundee, Outback Jack. Those are his three favorite things. Kate Hensler over at OnDeckIC.com. Kate is a very important part of the Shining Wizards family. She does the Wednesday night show. She does a podcast with Kevin Gill. What's good, Kevin Gill? And if you tune in to Wednesday nights, sometimes Kate's not sober, and it makes for a really entertaining show like last week. So let's hope she can drink a couple White Claws Wednesday night and tune in. It'll be a good time.
Wait, who was drunk? Somebody was drunk? What?
Yeah.
Somebody was drunk.
I got to start actually watching full AEW Dynamite just so I can listen to the post-game show. I want to hear Kate drunk.
Oh, it's just as annoying as when she's not.
Bush League take right there.
Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Maddie Mellinger. Christine Friesendorf. Mark Paroloni. Happy birthday, Mark. Kenny Hossie, the Scotch Drinkmore. If you need to know about women's Japanese wrestling, you need to click on the link at Wizards Podcast on Twitter. Join the Discord. Get in the Joshi chat. Scotch drinks more. He gives you the fucking 411 on Stardom, Ice Ribbon, Choco Pro, any other ice kind ribbon. Of weird. Yeah, Ice Ribbon's a wrestling.
The fuck is Ice Ribbon?
Kevin, you got to get up on
your... Yeah, get on a Discord, son. Kenny Hoss is there, boy.
He's got all the info. He's got the 411 on the Joshis. Jay Cop, Big Cop of Pump.
Fuck yeah!
Podcast on the network, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. He's the only one worth a fuck. Although Phil fills in on the Kenny Omega Manscaped giveaway because he purchased himself a giant kit. So he's a big boy, so he needed two kits because he's got to shave those giant fucking balls.
Big balls!
Big stinky balls. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock.
Yeah!
Michael Hammond. Mr. David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hosserman, makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. The Bergman, he's the LeBron James of Mattel Elite Figure Collecting, and he's in the Facebook watching us live. Bergman, what's up? Matthew Birch, the true prince of pro. Give him a follow on the Twitter machine. He's an excellent wrestling fan, very knowledgeable, big supporter of the Shining Wizards for years. And everyone on this list is a supporter of the Shining Wizards for years. Let's not, I don't want to besmirch anyone. TJ Vegas. And last, but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
You know what I want to have of Mercier's in my hands? I want his big hairy balls so I could fucking take him over to Manscaped and shave them suckers for him.
Wait, how do you know how hairy William Mercier's balls are?
Kev, get in the Discord. That's all I'm going to tell you.
If that's a reason to keep me out of the Discord. Right then and there. But no, go to the Discord for real. It's great.
Yes, fantastic. Lots
those
of
big hairy balls, though, right?
Big hairy balls. We got to help him out. And I'm going to help him out by telling him he can go over to manscaped.com. Kev, what if I told you you were having problems with your balls? You say to Geeko, Tony, listen, my balls are hairy. They smell like shit. What am I going to do? And I say to you, Kev, I'm going to get you some care for those balls of yours. And I'm going to save you 20% and get you free shipping in the process. You'd think I had brain damage, right?
I'd say your balls to the wall.
But I'm not, because this is a real thing. You go over to Manscaped. You need your balls trimmed? Got a lawnmower 3.0. 9,000 RPMs. Quiet. No nicks. No scrapes. Clean them shits up. Lickety split. No kidding. Your blade goes bad? They got replacement blades. You can sign up. You don't even have to remember. Your new blade comes in the mail. Go, oh, I was wondering when my new blade was coming. Here it is. Bam, bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. No nicks. No scrapes. No cuts. And it's all coming to your door. Kev, now I shaved your balls, right? And you go, but Tony, my balls are shaved, but they still smell like shit. What am I going to do? Kev, crop preservers, crop wipes, crop sprays, shampoos, you name it. You want those balls to stop being smelly balls.
Tony, you couldn't deflect one of these towards Matt?
No, because I'm helping you out, Kev. This is all about you today.
That's right.
Kev, they will take care of you. Kev, you're talking about getting and busting out because you're getting the vaccinations and your quarantine's over, right?
Soon.
Cologne, brother. Refined cologne. A little... Remember how much poon you were knocking when you were wearing your Axe body spray in college? This is going to up your game 5,000,000%. Trust me when I tell you. You're talking clean balls. You're talking fresh smelling balls. You're talking cologne. Kev, your nose hair's coming out so you don't even know where your mustache ends and your nose hairs begin? Bro, weed whacker. You get this shit up your nose, clean them shits out, you're good
Tony,
to go,
can I,
bro.
Can I give you a little cheat code? Little life hack?
Ooh, tell me, yes.
Not too bad on the eyebrows either.
No, good call. Very good call.
Because I haven't been to the old Russian barber in about a year, and he does a fantastic job on the brows. It's hard to pluck them out every now and then, but this little old weed whacker, did a tremendous job on the brows, trimming them down a little bit because they were out of control. They're still very huge. I see that. I know it. But this helped. Delays the process a little bit before I go back to the barber. So,
you know what I got this past week? I ordered a couple more bottles of the shampoo, the body wash, the one that Matt always talks about, the one that I'm telling you people to get on. I got myself the shears kit. Yo, toenail clipper, tweezers, things to scoop shit out of your ears, I think. Some of this stuff, I still don't know what it does because I haven't gotten that far yet. Kev.
And Tony, if you're not going to take our word for it, would you take the word of a former Super Bowl champion?
Who's this?
Playing in the Super Bowl? That would be Mr. Gronkowski. The Gronk, if you will.
The Gronk? The Gronk.
Former 24/7 champion. I'm sorry, Matt.
I think you are forgetting good friend of the show.
Yep.
Rohit Raju.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's even more important.
Kev, you know what Rohit told me? Mr. Raju told me.
Free throw.
That was pretty fucking good. Holy shit.
I also didn't know you were doing a read, Kevin. Yeah. I don't have that read.
Well, you know what's great that about that throw is it's right here, and I won't have to knock down Bret Hart, Ted DiBiase, or Abyss. Or
Ted DiBiase.
So February 7th in Tampa, it's time to get your balls feeling super, and our partners at Manscaped are here to tell you to join the already 2 million men and women or men who trust Manscaped products to groom. I'm done. We'll do this one next week because there's 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. But Gronk uses it, and Gronk loves it. He's going to the Super Bowl again. This is Gronk, who came out of retirement just to get Manscaped and just to shave his super balls. Well, so Kev, I told you all you need to know, baby.
He's got Manscaped. He's walking around that locker room again. He's got to show them boys off. Oh, those are some bad
jamming,
boys,
baby.
Kev, so our good friend Rohit gets in touch with me. He said, Tony, there's problems with the Raju. They smell like au jus, and it's not a good smell. I said, bro, let me give you the code. It's Wizards at checkout, 20% off, and you're getting free shipping. Yo, my man went all out. He's got the entire collection. Them shits don't smell like au jus no more. They smell, whoo-wee, so nice and tender and sweet. Just like Rohit.
There you go. Can't take the heat. Get out the kitchen.
Wash your balls if you can't take the heat, like my man Rohit would always tell you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, what are we having problems? Yes. 20% off. Code Wizards at checkout. Free shipping. Can't go wrong. Matt, back to you.
All right. And for those of you, you have 5 days. If you go to manscaped.com, use the code Wizards at checkout. Screen cap it. Send us proof that you used it. You'll be entered into our Manscaped giveaway. We have a ton of Manscaped products and a Kenny Omega AEW figure to give away. So check it out. Get on it. Don't miss it. Don't get left out in the cold. We're going to pick one winner. You're going to get a Kenny Omega AEW figure. You're going to get a bunch of stuff from Manscaped that they sent us. Ball Reviver, Foot Duster, the Shears, all sorts of fun stuff. And we'll sweeten the pot. We'll throw some stuff in there. Okay. Great.
Sounds good.
I agree. Check it out.
I mean, we should look into some autographed 8x10s, I'm thinking.
What, of our balls?
Sure. No, that's that would probably be against the rules of law. But
all right, Matt, what else we got to talk about?
Oh, there's a lot to talk about. So let's jump into it. Kevin,
yo,
Tuesday night is your night to watch Impact, and I think Impact made a huge fucking impact. And coming out of Hard to Kill, we talked about it a little bit last week after we watched Hard to Kill. But Tuesday night, man, I love when I get excited text messages from you. And you were fucking rocked to the gills, man. A big capitalized holy shit. And it was on.
And holy shit. It might as well have been Hardy shit. Because the Hardy Party, Matt Hardy and Private Party showed up at Impact Wrestling. Something I wanted to have happen to intensify this AEW Impact rivalry. And that did it. You're bringing a solidified tag team known as Private Party, who was, like, I think the first tag team, if you don't want to count the Bucks, signed to AEW, beat the Young Bucks in the first round of that tag team tournament, a proven solid commodity made even more so by Matt Hardy, not to mention Matt Hardy's return to Impact Wrestling for the first time since he left to go back to WWE at that WrestleMania in Orlando. So this was a surprise that I didn't see coming. And if it was taped, I don't know how they don't let spoilers out, because it's definitely not live. So I don't know how that happens, but they do. And then to fast forward, because we don't need to go through match by match unless Matt brings something to my attention. But this is what they're doing. They're setting up to that the next Impact event that's on Impact Plus, which I believe is called No Surrender.
You are correct. No Surrender.
No Surrender. So you're going to have the Private Party versus the Good Brothers. They come out, confront the Good Brothers, you know, leading to a whole big, ginormous brawl, which is what I love. You guys know I love those types of brawls, bringing more people from AEW into Impact to reciprocate the fact that the Good Brothers were going to Impact every week. I mean, going to AEW every week. So I absolutely love this show, Matt. If you want to bring up some more points so I can hit on them, because I'll hit on every single one of them, baby.
I didn't... To be fair, I didn't see the whole show. I just watched this one match, and I saw the clip where the Good Brothers came out. Out came Chris Sabin. He brings out James Storm.
Yes.
And then Matt Hardy comes out, and then I watched the match. I do know that there was a beatdown at the end of the show, and they're bringing in a special tag team partner for Dreamer, Rhino, and Rich Swann to take on Chris Bay, Moose, Joe Doring, Eric Young. Is that the match? No, it's
that doesn't sound right.
It's Moose, Chris Bay, Sammy Callahan, Kenny Shamrock
against
Rich Swann, Dreamer, Willie Mack. And then as the show was ending, apparently the door opened and all three men were surprised to see who was on the other side. So we'll find out who that fourth man is tomorrow night.
Oh, I can't wait. But a lot of stuff went down. You had that stable of Eric Young. Eric Young defeated Rhino. I think that was the opener, actually. You know, made him tap, and that creepy stable is firing on all cylinders. Swan taking a fight to Moose, which is always good to see. You had Fala versus Brian Myers, which was, guys, that was probably the toughest match I've ever had to watch in my life.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Two very dear, good, close personal friends, Brian Myers and Fala Ba. Tony, I mean, Fala Ba is like your kid's godfather, isn't he?
Yes, it's his grandfather. Fala Ba is 75 years old.
Or he's got, pretty much based on when he was in studio. There was a bond that could never be broken.
My kid really doesn't watch wrestling at all anymore, but he loves Fala Ba. Like, Fala Ba's all-time favorite. Like, I even showed him a pic came up on my Facebook whatever, you know, the rewind, whatever they show a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, oh, you remember this? I'm like, you remember? He's like, yeah, I like Fala Ba. I miss him. Oh, all right, well.
So Brian Myers, of course, being the most professional wrestler, defeated our dear good friend Fala Ba. A lot of stuff notable on that show was also Taya Valkyrie's exit, which I thought was, you want to compare it, and I said this on Twitter, you want to compare it to Bobby Heenan getting thrown out of the arena by Gorilla Monsoon on Raw, done just as well.
It was, I actually did see that clip, and they did a really, I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, it's hysterical, because Taya is like, I'm not going to compare her to Bobby the Brain Heenan, but in this moment, the only reason why I tweeted it is because it reminded me so much of that moment when Bobby the Brain Heenan got tossed out by Gorilla Monsoon, who really wasn't even an authority figure at the time. He was just out of there. Let's go. I'm gonna dive right through this. You had Rohit, Chris Bay, Manic. That the segment with Damore, who promised Rohit a match with Manic, but it's gonna be a non-title match in I think 2 weeks.
Yes.
So Rohit is not too happy, but he'll get Damore of the heat.
Oh fucking A.
There you go. That was probably my favorite tweet of the night, by the way. And then you had another thing that's going to be really fun to watch, and I'm going completely out of order, but this is just so – that's how Impact is, man. It's just – it's out of order. It's so good, how good it is. The Fire and Flava – or the Flava and Fire – the Fire and Flava Festival with Tasha Steelz and Kiera Hogan. They're going to have a big deal together, and Nevaeh and Havoc, they ran out of packages before they could even get there, so they will not be invited to the Fire and Flava Festival. Great team, probably the right decision at the end of the day to win the Impact Women's Knockout Tag Team Championship, despite how much I love Havoc and Nevaeh. So there was that there. And I mean, Impact continues to fire, man. Like, it's literally, like, I'll go out of my way to probably find, like, AEW and NXT like I did. But Impact to me, I'll say it again, like a broken record, is appointment television for me, especially now with everything going on with this so-called invasion. You had, the only thing that's going to trick me is I'm going to blend Dynamite and Impact together. Cause I was going to mention how, Don Callis got super kicked, but that was on Dynamite. So
he did get beat up on Dynamite. Yes. Yeah. How'd you feel about Jerry Lynn interfering at the end of that match?
Oh my God. The biggest story of the whole show was Tony Khan and Jerry Lynn showing up. I'd like that it was Jerry Lynn and not Tony Khan.
Yeah, it makes more sense. And I like how I think we talked about it last week. They're not overdoing it. They're picking their spots where they bring people in, and everybody, like Matt Hardy bringing Private Party in. Matt Hardy has that connection, and he said it in his promo. I made Impact what it is, you know, when I was here in 2016. Jerry Lynn, they put him over on commentary about his history in TNA. So they're really being super smart about it, and it's must-see TV. I know they announced today that the Hardy Party will be back on Impact tomorrow night.
Yes, but not competing, right? Or are they?
Matt Hardy.
I don't think they're...
They will be on this Tuesday show along with manager Matt Hardy. They didn't say if they'll be in a match, but they'll be
big
on...
Big money Matt.
Tony, how'd you feel about the Hardy Party showing up at Impact?
I guess fine. I don't know. I didn't see it, so I saw the Jerry Lynn interview with Tony Khan. It was okay.
Yeah, and to say that they're not overdoing it. Part of me, like the Tony Khan thing showing up, was like I did not see that coming at all. So now, and the thing is, Impact is on Tuesday and Dynamite's on Wednesday, so they didn't do anything right away with like Scott D'Amore showing up on Dynamite, which would only make sense, or whoever Scott D'Amore is the guy in charge on Impact. There's no owner, there's no this and that. So
right,
if someone's going to show up to counterbalance Tony Khan, it's going to be Scott D'Amore. So if now, do they do that this week? Do they wait it out? I don't know. But you're saying that they're not pushing it. The Tony Khan thing, they're getting close to pushing it too far, I think. If they're going to make it about the ownership and not the feuds and not like the wrestlers, which I mean, I guess in invasion angles, they always tend to do.
No, when I say they're not, I mean, you don't have, you know, with all due respect to Rich Swann, like I'm not putting on Dynamite and Rich Swann is running into a match and interfering. Like they're picking where they're sending people and when they do it. So they're not oversaturating. The invasion angle. And I think sending Private Party to Impact just lost, the Motor City Machine Guns are hurt. The North is gone. You need some fresh tag teams. And AEW has an influx of tag teams. Like, why not?
Yeah. And not, we, whenever we say like people are indispensable, that means that you can't live without them. And that's not disrespectful saying that some teams are dispensable. You can send them somewhere else and let them work. Like, that's okay. And private parties should work at a place like Impact. I don't think they ever have. So no, I don't think
they have either.
So that's a good, that's a great spot for them, especially with Matt Hardy there, who's been there, who knows the lay of the land. And I think, listen, I'm excited for everything that's still to come. Who knows how long it'll last, but it seems like it's going to last a lot longer than we first thought.
Yeah, so, because I don't think they're rushing through things. Like, yeah, we saw Kenny play out, and now the Good Brothers and Kenny are, seems like they're exclusive to AEW. Like, Kenny's not showing up on Impact again. The Good Brothers are doing their thing there, but they're essentially, they're going back and forth now, and Private Party's doing the same thing. Okay. And that heel side, the Private Party that we saw Tuesday night, came to fruition Wednesday night.
When Matt Hardy was like, get him. With the,
he used the chair to win. So I thought that was beautifully done. Tony Khan on the Renee Paquette podcast said the idea to work with Impact was Kenny Omega's. And that Kenny went to Tony Khan and said, how do you feel about doing that? And they went through all the rigmarole and the Don Callis stuff, and it just kind of worked out. So that's where that was revealed. And if you're not checking out Renee's podcast, she's getting all the big guests on there. So it was also revealed that John Moxley is writing a book.
That's going to be a good read. And John Moxley is such an, like, talk about enigma. John Moxley is a fucking enigma, man. Like, he, like, say what you want about MJF, say what you want about, I don't know who else, but John Moxley is the best promo in wrestling to me
right now. AEW will be moving a Revolution to Sunday, March 7th.
When was it supposed to be?
It was originally scheduled for Saturday, February 27th.
All right.
Apparently, Canelo Alvarez is fighting on pay-per-view, so they don't want to go head-to-head with a boxing pay-per-view.
All right. I mean, I guess that makes sense.
And March 6th was on the table, but that's UFC 259, triple championship card. So it seems like they're moving it to Sunday night. This isn't a permanent thing. They won't have their shows on Sunday nights, but this might be a one-time thing.
All right. I mean, I want to say you don't want to get in a habit of showing your inferiority by completely diving to other things, but I mean, I guess it makes sense, but are they going to do this every single time they have an event and someone else decides to schedule something?
I think it'll be different when things go back to having crowds and you can get people in the building.
I mean, they're getting people in the building.
You're not getting a full building, though. I mean, 800 people's great, but...
In a building that, what, fits, what, maybe 15, 13, 3,000?
I don't know what the
Daily's place fits.
Yeah.
Find out. But
you'd rather, you know.
I mean, their major concern is not the live crowd. Their major concern is the pay-per-view buys.
Sure.
So, I mean, I get that, but I mean, if you're going to... If UFC is always going to outdraw you. So, I mean, what are you going to do? How long are you going
to... If you're in a position where you can move it. Like this, when things go back to normal, once they're locked into a venue, they can't change it. They're it. Then they got to suck it up. So why okay. risk... All right. You know, like, you are in Daly's place, so why risk, you know?
Yeah, all right, that makes sense.
Why risk the biscuit?
Yep, no, I got you. That 100% makes sense when you have, when you can do it and no one's really going to bat an eye at it. That makes sense.
I don't know. I'm a little on the fence about a Sunday night show. I like the Saturday night thing.
Well, I mean, Saturday night pay-per-views are relatively new.
Yeah, but, I mean, every AEW pay-per-view up until this one has been on a Saturday night.
No, I understand. In the grand scheme of pro wrestling, they're relatively new.
Right. I like the Saturday night one, though. You can stay up late afterwards. You can continue having some cocktails. You don't have to worry about getting them for work the next day.
Fair enough.
This Wednesday night, we got Sting and Darby Allin. They're talking about their upcoming street fight against Team Taz at AEW Revolution. This is official. Darby Allin and Sting take on Ricky Starks and Taz in a street fight. Sting will be back in a wrestling ring. How do you guys feel about that?
Love it.
Wait. With Taz?
It's Ricky Starks and Brian Cage.
Okay, you said Taz. That's why I had
Team
asked.
Team Taz.
Team Taz.
You said Ricky Starks and Taz.
If I did, my apologies.
Oh, okay. No, that's just why I was asking. I was like, wow, Sting and Taz are getting in the ring.
And real quick, I severely underestimated the capacity of the other place. It's 5,500. So,
okay. Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
How do you guys feel about Taz, Jesus Christ, Sting getting back in the ring?
I'm all for it. If it's done well, protect him. I'm okay with it. Why not? He's been there.
I think it's a street fight. It's not a wrestling match. So I think this is a great way to protect Sting.
All right. Exactly.
Like, so, he's not going to have to, there's no tie ups. There's no arm drags. There's no fucking drop down, get it again. Like, it's a fight. So he can just walk around and hit people with a bat or what, you know, like, you don't have to worry about him looking shitty in the ring.
Do you think this could be a cinematic thing, or is this going to be an actual match?
They announced it a month out, so they might do cinematic.
Then I'd kind of be, I mean, whatever. Listen, he's there. Use him however. If you think you can capitalize on Sting, use him however you see fit, and we'll just roll the dice and either hate it or love it, no matter what. Because we're not going to get Sting in a traditional wrestling match, I don't think.
If they're smart, they won't put him in.
So do whatever you got to do to protect Sting and give us something entertaining, and we'll make our own decisions like wrestling fans do for everything else.
Tony, did you watch Dynamite last week?
I only watched the main event because I heard that Chris Jericho almost killed himself. So
it wasn't. I don't think it was as bad as everyone.
I agree with you, Kevin. I don't think it was as bad as everybody made it out to be either. I still. All right. Since this is the only thing I watched, I'm going to give my piece about it, and then I'll let you fill in whatever else you want.
The only thing I wanted from you was your piece about this.
Okay. The match I thought was fine. Jake Hager in this environment is the Jake Hager we need him to be. He was motivated. He was kicking ass. He was screaming, which I enjoyed. I don't know why we have to have the Inner Circle fighting all the time. I'm fucking done with it. I don't understand why Santana and Ortiz being the fucking greatest unsigned tag team when AEW started is stuck in a fucking situation like this. I think that's a shame. I don't understand why Chris Jericho is latching on with MJF. There's so many reasons I just don't get it. Proud and Powerful deserves a lot better than this. And look, I know I give them a lot of shit. The Sammy Hagar, you know, Sammy Hagar, ha ha ha, funny. I just need to get from point A to point B where Proud and Powerful say, fuck this, I've had enough, to where Sammy Guevara says, fuck this, I've had enough, and everybody could just fucking move on because it's I've had enough of it. Matt, great match. I'm just done with it.
I'll let you take that because you probably already talked about this on the post-game show, so I'll let you go first.
I think it's all coming. I think there's no need to rush it because what you blow up.
How much longer is it going to take, dude?
Hold on.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You blow up the Inner Circle on Wednesday, then what? You just insert them into the FDR Young Bucks feud because they're going to feud over the title. It's coming. That's the storyline they're telling. So you'd rather take what you want to take Proud and Powerful out of this storyline where they're on TV every week and you want to have what? Get beat by the Bucks next week and then lose to FTR next week and then they're on fucking Dark? They're on TV every week. They're doing something.
And they're in the top
stable. They are. Tony, they were in the fucking main event again. They're on TV every week.
Again, not to be redundant, in the top program and in the top group. And if you watch, there was a promo ahead of time before this match where the beef isn't really between the Inner Circle. It's between MJF and Sammy for now. So this really doesn't necessarily mean that, Ortiz and eventually we all know it's going to. Listen, I'd be really shocked at? If this doesn't lead to an MJ, everyone assumes it's going to be MJF Jericho that's going to be blow off. Might very well just be MJF and Sammy, and that could be enough for me, to be honest with you. Like, do you think that you have to do both? Do you think that you have to do MJF Sammy and then MJF Jericho? Maybe you don't. Maybe Sammy goes to Jericho. Maybe Jericho sides with MJF. I don't know, man. Like,
there's a lot of different options. I think the inevitable is Sammy MJF. And I think once the inner circle fractures, that's it. Like, you've got
you have got the most out of them from day one till whenever this ends, probably at Revolution. Right. And then you look, you're going to, because you're going to, I think you're going to get FTR Young Bucks again at Revolution. I think the Inner Circle is going to explode at Revolution, and then you can reset. If you want to then put Santana and Ortiz in a story where they're going to chase FTR now, they've been held back by the Inner Circle for so long. Maybe Jericho and MJF are still a tag team, and Santana and Ortiz prove themselves. They beat them. Now they're ready. Then they mow down Jurassic Express. Then they take out the Acclaimed. Then they beat the Young Bucks. There's a lot of meat on the bone here. I get that, Matt. It seems like it's the same shit every week. They're infighting. But that's kind of, I mean, shit. We did the infighting for like 4 years on the podcast before we got rid of.
My point is that I just don't think, I'm starting to think that we had like the dinner debonair. We had the Jericho MJF best friends thing. And now I'm wondering if that's even going to be the payoff. I don't think it is anymore. I mean, it could be, like, who the fuck knows, but.
Did you guys ever just think that they have no fucking idea where they're going with this?
Oh, they have an idea.
Oh, come on, dude. It's every week. It's like, let's have a fight. Let's have a get together. No, let's have a dinner. Let's go on a trip.
Inner Circle knows exactly what they're
doing. All right, Kev, I will take your word for it.
If you want to say AEW as a whole really doesn't have a clue.
Hey, as a whole, that. Be careful.
But there's no way Jericho's involved in something where he has no idea where it's going.
I will bet against you on that.
Tony, when the Mega Powers exploded.
You're going to compare Chris Jericho to Vince McMahon, Gorilla Monsoon, Pat Patterson, and all the guys behind the scenes writing that story?
Yes. Come on, God. I think with Tony Khan at the helm, they...
No. See, that's where you lost me. I think
they very much know what they're doing.
Yeah. But I'm not gonna give Tony Khan any credit for that. I'll leave that to Jericho.
And I don't think Jericho knows where it's going. I think Jericho likes to be in the main event every week, and if he's gonna have five of the coolest guys on the roster with him, then he wants to have his pals with him. That's what I think's happening.
God. You know who you're comparing him to? You're comparing him to like the Click.
What is he, Triple H?
Yeah,
maybe.
You're comparing him to Triple H.
Maybe. Maybe he realizes he's an old man and his time is about to pass him up, so he's going to surround himself with all these young guys.
Yeah, so he's going to get involved in a feud with Orange Cassidy and put him over twice.
Are you going to bring up that fucking guy again?
But yeah,
but Orange Cassidy ain't in no great shakes now either, Matt.
But that's the way, that's, you know, everyone, look, I said it
Chris
Wednesday
Jericho's
night.
Still main eventing, Kevin. Where's Orange Cassidy? You made a fucking excellent point, my friend.
Sitting
excellent
in the chair watching
point.
His friend
that's why I'm worried about Proud and Powerful. You know why I'm pissed off? I saw them on Wednesday. They look fucking amazing together. And I forgot how great they are together because they're never getting a fucking team up anymore. I don't care how many times you're going to close fucking AEW Dynamite every week. If they ain't doing fuck all with you except standing there, what good is it? And even Ortiz is coming into his own again. That promo he cut a couple of weeks ago, he fucking had fire behind it. And now these fucking, they're just fucking sitting around and they're in the back with the fucking, whatever his name is. He's a mole and he's giving people to the Dark Order or whatever the fuck he's doing on being the Elite.
There's a lot of people that have spent a good chunk of their career standing behind people before they made it themselves. So I'm just throwing that there.
Kev, these were the fucking hottest free agents in wrestling. They had a choice to go to WWE or AEW. They chose AEW because they were going to make a fucking impression. They were going to make a difference. And they're just fucking standing behind Jericho, dude. They're not making a difference.
I think they have made a difference. They had that awesome street fight with the best friends.
Yeah, and what have they done since then? Back to being behind Jericho.
Why do you need it now?
Because we don't have anything right now except for Jericho saying we're going to fight, we're going to get together, we're going to do this, we're going to do that.
Because he's the leader of the Inner Circle.
Who gives a fuck? Jericho like, wants to jerk you guys off. That's fine. I'm done with it, dude.
So next week, the Inner Circle explodes, and then Proud and Powerful in 2 weeks loses the Young Bucks.
No, why can't Proud and Powerful go on Dark and fucking rack up the wins all the other tag
Proud
teams
and
are
Powerful
racking up?
Powerful does go on Dark.
What, once in the last... I think tomorrow might be, or last week was their first appearance on Dark in a very long time. Who'd they beat? Like Danny Limelight and somebody?
They've been on Dark several times. They've main evented Dark a couple times. They will be on Dark tomorrow night against Ryzen and Mike Verna.
Kevin, thank you for opening his eyes to this.
No, no. I mean, I'm not saying they haven't been on Dark before. I mean, Chris Jericho's been on Dark before. So it's not like it's an unprecedented, but they haven't been on a lot.
No, because that's not a tag team you put on Dark a lot. But there's no rush to put, you want them out of the Inner Circle, and then what are you going to do with them?
I'm not saying I want them out of the Inner
not
Circle.
You.
Totally. I want to see them every week. I want to see them wrestle.
Them every week.
I think there's a fine line between what both you guys are saying. I think there's like a middle ground.
The tag team scene on Dynamite does not always have to be a championship title match. These guys can
fucking...
I
understand that, and it's not.
So why can't they wrestle the Acclaimed? Why can't they fucking get some wins over some profile teams? You make it sound like they need the Inner Circle to fucking get somewhere, and they don't.
But that's the story they're in, where they're featured. You see that.
All right, good. And I'm just saying I'm done with it, and it's a shit story. That's my point. You can argue until the cows come home. Unless something fucking drastic happens next week, that's my opinion on it.
Let's just remember, too, that other, like, Dark, it's only 2 hours a week for Dark. Or, I mean, for Dynamite, right? So if I'd say that Proud and Powerful gets something, you have to, like, shuffle the deck. And if it takes Proud and Powerful to sit, like, in the background, and sometimes those promos and those sketches and those vignettes are the most powerful things, like, no pun intended. It's progressing a story that we clearly don't know where it's going yet, but I think they do. So it's gonna develop. Like, Tony, I understand your point and your frustration. We all want more for Proud and Powerful. We all want more for Santana and Ortiz. But this right now, I think, and they'll probably tell you too, this is the best spot for them right now. Because if you said they went to WWE, where would they be? They at the very best, which is a good spot. At the very best, they'd be NXT Tag Team Champions, right? Which is a great spot. At the very, that's the very best. What's that, Matt?
They'd be fighting ninjas.
Yeah, or they'd be the ninjas, for Christ's sake. Who the fuck knows? But at the very best, which is a good spot, they would be NXT Tag Team Champions. They'd be on takeovers, but they're on every pay-per-view. They're not getting pay-per-views. So I think there's a fine line between what both of you guys are saying, and I don't think we're anywhere near knowing where it's going to go, and that's okay with me.
Okay.
I'll check in with this miserable shit next week.
Look, some of y'all don't like my opinions. I don't give a fuck. I'm not sucking Tony Khan's dick. I'm not sucking Vince McMahon's dick. I ain't sucking whoever fucking Triple H's dick.
Listen,
Kev. It's over. It's over. Let's move on.
I'm agreeing with you.
We can't talk about the Inner Circle thing for 45 minutes. We got a lot of shit to get to.
Do you think I like Cody Rhodes beating Peter Avalon because he tapped out because he was afraid of getting punched in the face? No, that's horse shit storytelling. It's bad. There's not everything about AEW is sunshine, and freaking roses. There's a lot of it that's not good.
Will you suck my dick?
I'll suck your dick.
Yes. Play some games first.
So this week on Dynamite, the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers take on the Dark Order. Lance Archer, Eddie Kingston, Hangman Page against Dolph Ziggler's little brother, Ryan. Jericho and MJF against the Varsity Blondes. Britt Baker against Shana. We went into it ad nauseum on Wednesday night. Any thoughts on the women's tournament? Tony says, fuck the women's tournament.
Yep.
They're thinking about...
You know what I'm thinking about less than the women's tournament? Women's action figures.
Fair enough. Good point. They're thinking about bringing Rio back.
Hi, Kate.
Try and figure out a way to get her back to the States. So there's that.
Kate's going to fucking punch me when she sees me.
She's going to punch me too.
Good. In the dick, I hope. Oh, dick punch.
Royal Rumble's coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, and Matt doesn't care about it.
But I will make my picks. But I think the bigger news is WWE Network to Peacock.
Fucking dude. Fantastic.
I don't understand how people are mad about this.
I don't get it either, dude. So,
let me just ask a question first.
Sure, now, go ahead, Kevin.
If you're not a Comcast subscriber,
you could buy it.
It'll still cost you the $10 a month, right?
Yeah.
All right. So then, yeah, it's stupid. If anyone's complaining about it, then they're
done. I think it's only $5 a month, isn't it?
WWE Network includes
you would have commercials.
Yeah. So for $5, you get all pay per views for $5 a month.
So now, like me and like Kevin, we're Comcast subscribers, so we get Peacock Premium for free. We don't get Premium Plus, whatever it is. So right. I don't have to pay $10 a month anymore to get a subscription service where I'm getting access to all these NBC shows plus the WWE Network, and I'm saving $10 a month. How could you
a steal for us?
Definitely a steal.
Yeah.
It's a steal for anyone. Like when I'm doing nothing, I put Netflix on and I watch The Office. They took The Office off of Netflix. You know where it is?
Peacock.
It's on fucking Peacock.
Peacock.
I'm already paying $10 a month for the network. So you're telling me they're going to shut that network down. They're going to move it over to Peacock. I'm still going to pay $10 a month.
Peacock.
And now I have access to The Office, Parks and Recs, Community, whatever other NBC shows are out there. That I don't understand.
Yeah.
Why? In what fucking world does that bother you?
And there's already WWE programming on Peacock. Like I when I logged in earlier, I saw some stuff. If you give me a second, I could tell you what they have on there. They already have.
I'm just trying to think off the top of my head what the gripes would be for, because there were some. I just can't.
Maybe commercials. But like, if you're paying less, who gives a fuck?
I think a lot of people are expecting that this will lead to pay-per-views not being included in the deal, and you'll end up having to pay back, which is fine. Listen, we had a good thing going for a while, all right? WWE Network, if you're going to tell me that I have to go back to paying $60, well, I'm not going to do it. But
so this is the release that I pulled. $9.99.
I always pull for release, too.
All live pay-per-views, including WrestleMania and SummerSlam, original series like Steve Austin's Broken Skull, Undertaker Last Ride, and all new WWE icons. In-ring shows like NXT, NXT UK, 205 Live, replays of Raw and SmackDown. The archives, including every WWE, WCW, ECW pay-per-view, groundbreaking documentaries, including 24, WWE Untold, and WWE 365.
This is what's on right now. They have the Monday Night War series, the Best of WWE. I don't know what that is. WrestleMania Rewind with Shawn and The Undertaker, it looks like. Untold, 3 seasons worth. Broken Skull Sessions, 2 seasons. 25 years of Triple H. I guess that was the Triple H profile. And Ruthless Aggression. So there's already programming
on
there.
Peacock.
That's all on Peacock right now without the migration of the network onto Peacock. So there's already WWE content there. So there you go.
Look, I know there's people that are like overseas that are worried because the network is the only way they can watch. Well,
yeah, but it's only the United States.
It's only the U.S.
Beautiful. There's people like, oh, that's fucking dumb. Nobody watches NBC wants to watch. Who gives a fuck?
What it does is it immediately boosts their numbers. It immediately boosts their numbers. WWE's 1 million to like 20 whatever million. That Peacock has, they could use that.
Peacock.
It's like me using it. It's like me using a credit that I was on MTV for like a little fucking thing I did 12 years ago. Like it's the same thing. I could still use that, but it doesn't mean that I'm a star. Or
well, you
like that.
You also used your Jersey All Pro appearance when we interviewed Kayla Sparks earlier. So,
I said it was me and Matt's. So, and Jay Lethal was there.
I got the rub too, baby.
Ooh. That's right.
Rub. I think this is great. I don't understand how you can fucking complain about it.
I don't know.
Unless you're just complaining to complain.
I'll tell you what's even better.
I've been accused of that too, Matt. So it is what it is.
What's even better for wrestling is that NBC Sports is going to be shutting down, and you're going to have the NHL on USA Network soon. And then you're going to have NXT bumped to like Tuesday or Thursday. That's going to happen too. And I'll tell you what else is going to happen. Vince McMahon, within the next 4 years, is selling WWE.
Is that a hot take, Kevin?
There's been,
hot take.
There's been talk about that for a long time, though. I think
this is the nail in the coffin, baby.
I think Vince. I think nothing happens with ownership of WWE until Vince is gone. Once Vince is gone, then maybe Triple H and Stephanie decide they're gonna, you know, sell it off and move on to greener pastures. I just don't think Vince is gonna sell it.
I don't think it's. Is it? I'm telling you right now, I think he will. I think he knows now is the time to get the fuck out.
And what, go back to the XFL?
No. He's 78 years old, dude.
You know what's going to happen? The day he sells it, he's going to die the next day.
No.
He's going to lose his purpose, and that's going to be
it. Knock on wood, but you're probably right. Knock on wood.
That's what happens to these guys. These guys
that,
like,
that.
You know, their career, their whole life is their profession. And once that's gone, what's he going to do, sit around in his pool all day?
Well, listen, he's got grandkids. He's probably gonna have great grandkids at some point soon.
Come here, little Shane.
That does a lot.
Let me tussle your hair, you little ragamuffin.
No, once he doesn't have a, once he doesn't have anything to do, it's a wrap.
Yep, that's it.
But he will
say goodnight, Gracie.
Just because you sell it doesn't mean you're not still on the board. It doesn't mean you sell it.
Once he stops going in, like he just has nothing. Like look at Joe Paterno. Look at John Wooden.
All right. So I said what in 4 years? So in 4 years he'll be what 80, 81. Yes. All right. So then there you go. So then all right, that's a good life.
They're bringing back WWE Backstage for the Royal Rumble special.
Oh, Matt, you're not going to tune in?
Nope, I'll be missing that. You apparently, before we talked to Kayla Sparks, said you were going to tune in for the Superstar Spectacle India special tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, 9:30. Wait, I'll be at work.
It's at 9:30?
Oh, yeah.
I got to set my fucking phone alarm. That's perfect.
I'll be at work. I'll be an hour deep in the work, baby.
Be watching that shit while I work. Be awesome.
I'll have fun with that.
Yes.
I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be different because it's branded strictly for the Indian audience. It's not for the domesticated crowd here.
You think they're going to do like
entire Rey Mysterio, Charlotte, AJ Styles, Bayley, The New Day, Nakamura, Cesaro, Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode, Natty, Ricochet, plus many more, and an appearance by Ric Flair, plus Jinder Mahal, the Bollywood Boys.
Of course.
The Indian, first all Indian tag team, Indus Shur.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Rinku and Sayuvar.
That's right.
Hey, what about those guys from that video, Rahiv and Godov, the guys that look just like WWE?
I know NXT superstar Jet Rama will be there. Kavita Devi, the first Indian woman to sign a WWE contract.
World renowned.
The great Kali trainees, Giant, Zangier, and Dilshur Shanky.
Sounds fucking amazing.
Dude, and
Guru Raj, the first Indian-born high flyer.
Listen, fucking NBC Guru. And Peacock just hit a home run.
Peacock doesn't know how great they. You know who? You know who else hit a home run, Kevin? Me, because my shares of WWE Network, fucking WWE, are going to start going through the roof.
You're probably right.
All these fucking deals they're making, moving and shaking. Tony's going to be a thousandaire by the end of the year.
But then when Vince sells,
well, then I sell. We sell at the same time, except he'll be 6 feet under, and I'll be making them payments.
He's not going to be dead when he sells. I'm telling you, within the next 3-4 years, he's selling. Guaranteed.
He's cashing in, Kev. There's a difference.
Let's move and shake here, because we're on 2.5 hours.
Well, 2.25.
No, 2.5.
Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah. Anthony Henry is reportedly signed with WWE. We saw him work Evolve.
That's right.
Like I said, Royal Rumbles this weekend. We got the men's Royal Rumble, the women's Royal Rumble. Carmella takes on Sasha Banks for a SmackDown Women's Championship. Roman Reigns defends his Universal Championship against Kevin Owens in a last man standing match. Drew McIntyre against Goldberg is your WWE Championship match. And I guess we'll make those picks closer to Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
In the NXT world, they signed a slew of women. Priscilla Kelly, AQA, Elena Black, Sari, who is from Japan.
I'm sorry.
Lacey Ryan. And am I missing one? I am. No? No, I think that's it. I got them all.
I think it was four of them.
That was it. And they plopped a couple of those ladies right into the women's NXT Dusty Road Classic.
If you
Priscilla
will.
Kelly is now known as GG.
It's got to be named after, I think it's like a punk rock artist.
Gigi Dolin.
Yeah.
Elena Black is now Cora Jade, and Lacey Ryan is now Zoe Stark.
Yeah, Zoe!
All right, they got to stop with these names.
Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher are now a tag team in the Dusty Road Classic, so that's going on.
If you will.
Put the two guys that hit each other together, and there you go, baby.
Kurt Stallion's finally getting a shot at the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, and that's happening Wednesday.
Beautiful.
Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly take on the NXT Tag Team Champions, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. And in the men's Dusty quarterfinals, MSK takes on Drake Maverick and Killian Dane. The Grizzled Young Vets take on Kushida and Leon Ruff.
Yeah.
That's that. MLW, Tony.
Oh.
What up, Kev? What do you got?
I was ready for games, baby. But
let's blow through MLW. All right. This is what we got this week. We had Daivari take on Zenshi.
Good match.
We had Jordan Oliver take on Simon Gotch.
Kind of surprised at the result of that, but not really. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I thought that was going to be a babyface win, but I guess the ending of the show
kind of made it all make sense.
Yes.
And then Fatu took on ACH. She was jumped earlier in the night at his gym. There was a shitty promo by the fucking douchebag in his Daisy Dukes, Tom Lawler, and he stole your goddamn gimmick, Tony.
He's a fucking thief. Look, I love Tom Lawler, but bro, credit where credit's due. I've been calling ACH since before you were a fucking wrestler, dude.
Unbelievable.
Just filthy, disgusting.
I'm still disgusted by Court Bauer and the fact that he gave fucking Tom Lawler a referee's license and he put him in that spot, a spot of authority. It's a bunch of horseshit.
It really is.
Court Bauer is part of Team Filthy. I don't want to watch Filthy Island. It's going to be fucking gross and nasty. It's going to be a bunch of garbage dog shit.
I got the inside scoop. They might be pulling the fucking wool over our eyes, dude, because apparently Filthy Island's out in Hawaii. And I saw the recent interview with Kevin and the Von Erich boys, and they were all like, you know, he's already causing problems for the locals here. So I think maybe this whole Filthy Island thing might not be happening after all. It might be another clever ruse by the MLW people.
Hope the Von Erichs beat his ass. And I hope Alicia too fucking smacks Selena De La Renta.
Yeah, what was that, man? Like, look, I love me some Selena, but yo, why are you treating Alicia like that? That's kind of fucked up, you know? It really is. Why would you agree to be on the show and get interviewed? She wasn't rude to us, and we were asking the hard-hitting questions. I don't understand why she'd be rude to Alicia. Doesn't make sense. Does not make sense.
What did you think of the show altogether?
I'd probably put it in the middle of the road somewhere, maybe like a B, maybe a B minus, maybe.
So what are the big stories is Filthy Tom?
Well, Filthy Tom is starting Filthy Island. We don't know what that is yet, but supposedly we're going to find out, 2 weeks? No, yeah, two weeks, right? 2 weeks.
Yes, next week is a Holiday Savio Vega Caribbean Strap match.
Yes, and we also know the Von Erichs are not cashing in their rematch clause because they're going after Tom Lawler, which is completely sort of understandable, I guess, even though those fucking Los Parks boys cheated. Did you get a chance to watch the match? Did we talk about that? Did you watch the match or no?
I did not watch the match. No. Right, I know there was a ton of interference with Tom Lawler and Selena De La Renta and too much shenanigans.
Yeah, very too much shenanigans. Yes, but at the end of the night where after Jacob Fatu beat Ach and he was standing tall, a couple of the fucking soldiers from Contra attacked. Kev, they weren't soldiers. It was injustice. Getting a smidgen of justice against Contra. Dude, this is going to come down to the War Chamber, and it's going to be fucking fantastic. It's going to be 5-on-5. It's going to be Contra against, like, Jordan Oliver, Myron Reed, probably the Von Erichs. It's going to be fucking good, dude. I can't wait for that to happen.
Listen, I'm always happy when you're stoked about something. So if this makes you stoked, I'm stoked.
I like MLW. It's a fucking easy watch. It's simple. And when it's good, it's pretty good. You know, not like the dog shit 2 weeks ago, but this past week was okay. I enjoyed it.
And this week they're giving you TJP and Buku Dao taking on Violence is Forever in a tag team eliminator match. The winning team will be first in line for a shot at Los Parks, plus Savio Vegas taking on Richard Holiday in a Caribbean strap match. And then in two
weeks... you took a shot at Richard Holiday on the Twitter today.
Don't tell me you're drinking your morning coffee at fucking 10 at noon, okay?
What if you wake up at 11 o'clock?
It's not your morning coffee then, bro.
That's so awesome. That is so good.
And then in 2 weeks, plus Filthy Island, there's the Balky Brawl between National Openweight Champion Hammerstone and Mads Kruger.
Did you see what I sent to Court Bauer when he announced it? I sent him the picture of Balky going, "Of course I do. Don't be ridiculous." Come on, that's good.
It was good. It was very good.
Very good.
Shane Taylor is going to get a shot at Roosh for the ROH World Champion.
Awesome. Even though he's a little pudgy, he deserves it.
Oh, good.
I'm bringing that back.
New Japan announced that Sakuru Genesis will be April 4th.
Sakuru Genesis?
And we have new IWGP Junior Tag Team.
Yes, you mentioned this. Who's the new winners? Who's the new champs?
El Fantasmo and Taji Ishimori. Oh,
fuck those guys.
Why?
Fuck them.
They used the scratching, the claws.
Yeah, I know. He's a dick.
They beat El Desperado and Kanemura.
I tell you what, that El Fantasmo, he's a handsome guy. I'm glad he doesn't wear the mask anymore.
He never wore a mask.
No, wait, who lost his mask?
El Desperado.
El Desperado. Sorry, wrong El guy.
He's still wearing it,
though. Why?
Because the him taking his mask off was part of the story.
Well, so why did he put it back on?
About New Japan than anyone. And I...
You knew he put it back on?
He's talking to you, Kev.
Yeah, you knew he put it back on?
Yeah.
Mask? He's
been wrestling with his on since. He wrestled at goddamn WrestleGame with it on.
He never put it on. He was in that fucking battle with Yano and all that shit.
El Desperado?
Who took their mask off? Who was the guy that took his mask off?
In the match against Hiromu? It was El Desperado.
And he wrestled without his mask for like the next couple of shows.
No.
Yes, he did.
No.
He wrestled at Wrestle Kingdom without his mask on. You going to tell me he didn't?
He didn't.
Yo, you better look that shit up right now. I'm telling you he did.
I don't think he did either, Tony.
El Desperado has been wrestling with his mask
on. Maybe now, but he didn't at Wrestle Kingdom. Wasn't he involved in that shit with Yano, the King of Pro Wrestling? Was he in the final four?
Are you thinking of Bushi?
No, not Bushi. I'm thinking of Del Desperado.
El Desperado was not in the final four.
Okay, but he was in Wrestle Kingdom somewhere, wasn't he?
He was in the Battle Royal, I think.
He didn't have his mask on in the Battle Royal. I'm telling you, dude. I'm telling you. All right, so what else happened? He's not a champion, but the other guy is.
That's it. That's what happened.
All right, great. We got anything else?
Just games, buddy.
All right. Good. Kev, you were waiting for it.
He wrestled the tag title match with his fucking mask on at Naito. Him taking his mask off was just part of the story of that match.
He should have kept it off. He's a handsome guy. Kev, what do we got?
All right, boys. This is the final top five leading into the Royal Rumble. And you know,
I thought you were going to say forever. I was like, woohoo.
No, this is fun. If you wanted to tell me it's the last Can You Be Dad, I'll be all about it.
What? You won last week, you fuck.
This is the top five.
Just for that, I'm giving you the hard questions I have this week. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They're all hard, Tony.
Just like my dude.
The top five memorable Royal Rumble undercard matches of the 90s. So this goes from 1990 to 1999. Undercard matches, not the world title matches. None of these are world title matches, World Heavyweight Championship title matches. So these are the top five most memorable matches. So you got to kind of get in my head for these.
Of the 90s.
Of the 90s. And I'll give you one more hint because I know we're up against it to try to make this go a little quicker. There's not one that is past 1995. So I probably could have just shortened it from 1990 to 1995. But these are the top five undercard matches to me.
I have your number one.
All right. Tony, you want to let Matt go first here?
Yeah, why not? I bet you have the same one too. Go ahead.
Because I think it might go down as the greatest opening match in Royal Rumble history. The Rockers and the Orient Express.
Matt, that's not on the list.
I'm going to give you mine.
Kev. I did think about it, Matt, but it's not on the list.
You got to go Bret Owen, WrestleMania 10.
But this is a Royal Rumble show.
Oh, it's a Royal Rumble fucking thing? Oh, fuck me. Sorry, I had a Kevin moment. I wasn't paying attention.
What? I always pay attention. I just don't remember stuff.
Oh, come on. Like last week, you started answering the third question, and Matt's like, did he give a number?
Well, that's because trivia is different. It hits different.
And you said no world title matches?
No main event world title matches.
Fucking Bob Holly.
It's Matt's turn. It's Matt's turn.
No, he got it wrong.
Oh, I just said the first one wrong.
It's Tony's turn. It's Tony's turn.
See, he doesn't pay attention, Matt.
No, I pay attention. I forget, though.
Well, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Look at Matt.
I'll take the half a dozen every time.
Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 kid beating, who was it, Bam Bam and Tatanka in the tag finals?
I can't believe that's the one you pulled.
Number one?
Number five.
Whoa, I made the list!
But still very impressive. 1995, they beat Tatanka and Bam Bam Bigelow. Go on to lose to the Smoking Guns the very next night. P-Doc, number five. Pulled it out.
Yeah! What's up?
Piper Mounty, shockproof.
All right, Matt, can we get that lower bed of the music, please, still? Is that possible or not?
Yeah, we could do a little music. Hold
a little
on.
Low bed there?
Let me see.
But, Matt, we'll get there right now because that's number four, Matt. Roddy Piper taking over from Bret Hart, who had the flu, beats the Mountie for the Intercontinental Championship, would go on to lose it back to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 8. That's number four. You guys are going in condescending order, and I kind of like it. Tony, you're up, pal.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get there. Let me see. Is this music too loud? Or are you guys okay? Or are you
not? That's fine. I was expecting just the trivia music the entire time, though.
And not world title matches. Matt, what was the first one you said that was wrong?
Orient Express against the Rockers.
There you go. I'm going to go DiBiase and Virgil versus the Rhodeses.
You guys are 3-for-3. Tony, you are 2-for-2. And not only are you 2-for-2, you got number 2.
Yes, 2.
So we're keeping it consistent across the board. Ted DiBiase and Virgil against Dusty and Dustin Rhodes from 1991. Of course, we all know this was the big family affair between Dusty and Dustin, and better known as the time where Virgil finally said, "No more, Mr. DiBiase. I'm going to smack you in the face with this $1 million title." And Virgil will go on to win said title. Virgil and the $1 million Man versus Dusty and Dustin Rhodes from 1991's Royal Rumble is number 2. So you guys are missing number 3 and number 1.
The Quebecers against Bret and Owen. I kicked your leg out from under your leg.
Well, you guys are no longer missing number 1. Because Matt gets number 1, the most memorable undercard Royal Rumble moment match, whatever you want to say to me, is Bret and Owen Hart versus the Quebecers for the World Tag Team titles. Of course, Bret Hart would get his leg kicked out of under his leg by his younger brother, Owen Hart, and would lead to one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time, Bret versus Owen Hart, which Tony said earlier, but it was the wrong list. So there you go.
You said there's no world title matches, right?
There's no WWE world. There's no main event top belt matches. And there's actually the last one, it's not even a title match.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This one's probably going to get you, but I think it's so good.
Steiners versus the Beverleys?
No. No, Tony.
See, I was thinking Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty for the IC title, but you said no titles.
That would have been number 5 if I didn't watch this number 3 so recently and realize how much and how I think love it doesn't deserve or okay. It doesn't get that it deserves is so good.
I will go back to my original pick. I will just have to change a tag team. The New Foundation against the Orient Express.
No.
It's
a singles match.
Tatanka and Bigelow?
Razor Ramon and Goldust?
Nope. This one's tough, but go back and watch it after. I'm probably going to have to tell you because you guys won't get it. So after I tell you, go back and watch it. It's fucking good. And it involves a guy that, Matt, we make fun of a lot. And we don't really like. But this is the best stuff he's ever done. Tony, I don't know whose turn it is, but
it's not Jeff Jarrett and Razor, is it?
Nope. Jarrett and Razor Ramon couldn't do enough great things.
It's not Ronnie Garvin and Greg Valentine, is it?
T-Dunk.
Come on.
It is Ronnie Garvin versus Greg the Hammer Valentine in the submission match. The Battle of the Shin Guards. Ronnie Garvin takes off Heartbreak Hotel.
Wow.
Puts on the slammer jammer, which actually, believe it or not, is the sharpshooter before the sharpshooter was a thing, which
God
I didn't
realize. Damn.
God damn. There it is. Number 5, boys. Number 5 is, well, that was number 3, but number 5 is 1-2-3 Kid and Bob Holly versus Tatanka and Bam Bam Bigelow in the finals of the tag team title tournament. Number 4, Roddy Piper versus the Mountie 1992 for the Intercontinental Championship. Number 3, Roddy Garvin versus Greg the Hammer Valentine in a submission match from 1990. Ted DiBiase and Virgil versus Dusty and Dustin Rhodes from 1991 comes in at number 2. And number 1, Bret Hart and Owen Hart versus the Quebecers. I kicked your leg out of your leg with a whole big snot ball right around my lip from 1994.
It was a good
there
list.
There it is, boys.
I liked it.
Nice. Can we postpone? Can you beat that till next week?
We can if you want.
Yes.
Okay. Please. I got good questions.
I have to go start dinner.
Oh, boo.
Yeah.
All right.
Friday night, Wednesday night, Monday night.
Then let's bring this train into the station, I guess.
That'd be fantastic. Unless you want to do, can you beat that without me?
No, let's do it. Let's call it a night.
Let's do it without him. Oh no.
No, we can play.
Big thanks to Kayla Spark for joining us tonight.
Sparks.
Kayla Sparks.
There you go.
Be sure to give her a follow on social media at Kayla Sparks.
Kayla Sparks 24/7.
Kayla Sparks 24/7. At Wizards Podcast across all social media platforms, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Check out our brand new shows and profiles feature that we do. Louis Spicoli and Wrestling Classic for January. $3 a month. Check it out. I also did a watch along with my wife to The Undertaker and Yokozuna from the 1994 Royal Rumble, which is hysterical. No guests next week. On the 15th, we have Bear Country joining us.
That's right, baby. Right? Bear Bronson and Bear Boulder.
Who knows? You never know what we're going to come up with.
Next week, it's not too late. If you buy something from manscaped.com and you use the code WIZARDS, send us a screen cap of your receipt where you use the code. Mail it to us, wizardspodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on the Facebook or on the Twitter, at Wizards Podcast. Send us your proof of purchase. You will be entered to win a Manscaped care package and an AEW Kenny Omega action figure, brand new in the box. Not too late. I guess we're going to be drawing that next Monday. Maybe we could do that. Or all right, so cool. Not too late. Get in on it. You got a couple days. Go make your purchase tonight. Send it over to us. That's all you got to do to win. You'll get 20% off. You get free shipping, and you get entered in the contest. How could you possibly go wrong? Even if you don't win the figure, you're going to have some fresh-smelling balls, my friend. And that ain't nothing to fucking sneeze at. Kev, you got anything?
No, I'm good, man. This is a great show. Thanks, Kayla Sparks, for joining us. I'm sorry that I met The Undertaker and you didn't. But you met Sting, and I didn't. So there you go. Even trade. Thank you very much, everyone.
And we'll see you guys next week with another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
See ya!
Peace!